will now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from the staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. And are there any members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? Seeing none, I will now move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Move to staff report 2017-138, proposed 2018 budget, held by Councillor DeBoer. Staff report 2017-151, Ontario Regulations 284-09, 2018 budget. Seeing none, held by Mayor Thompson. Sorry. So then staff report 2017-151, Ontario Regulations 284-09, 2018 budget, approved upon consent. Staff report 2016-149, 2018 fees bylaw, held by Councillor Shaughnessy. We'll now move towards presentations. I will now call upon Heather Hare, Treasurer, Finance and Infrastructure Services, to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning the proposed 2018 budget update.
Good afternoon. I would like to provide a quick recap of where we left off on Tuesday, November 14th. The proposed budget recommends a 6.88% increase to the town's tax levy. Staff are not recommending any changes to the proposed budget. In the agenda packages, there's a staff report on the 2018 budget that outlines that staff were notified on November 20th that the 2018 Ontario Municipal Partnership funding is to be decreased by $173,000. This was not included in the 2018 proposed budget. If this was to be incorporated into the 2018 budget, the town's net levy would increase to 7.17%. Since this information was received late in the process, staff recommend no changes, and if the town is in a deficit position in 2018, a draw from the operating contingency reserve may need to occur up to the $173,000. This decrease in funding will be a 2019 budget pressure, along with additional decreases as well, since the OMPF funding is expected to decrease further. Since the November 14th meeting, the town received an update from the Region of Peel, who has since approved their 2018 budget. With the changes reflected from the revised budget and the updated assessment growth information we have received from MPAC, we have a decrease in the Caledon's portion of the regional levy. This has resulted in an overall decrease in the blended tax increase from the estimate originally presented to Council. The revised blended tax increase is 3.23%, which is $153.51. The town's tax levy remains unchanged at 6.88%. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. My questions are not on the report. My questions with respect to the budget, so.
You'll hold them until then?
Yeah, thank you.
Seeing no other questions on the board, thank you, Ms. Hare.
Thank you.
We will now move to staff reports. The next item on the agenda is staff reports. The council member who held the report will be provided an opportunity to speak first. It's staff report 2017-138, proposed 2018 budget. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think that we've all read it and are comfortable with it. This item was held by Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Councillor Ernst and I had met, and we had some ideas to have some motions to change some of the items on the budget. The desire was is to maybe bring the the total increase down a little bit, and hopefully, and the intent is not to impact the service levels to the residents. So we do have four that I would like to present. Can I do the four one after the other? I guess that would be the...
Yep, we'll do them individually.
Okay, so the first one is that the 2018 budget be amended to remove the funded capital project 18021 surface treatment program funded to the amount of $500,000 from the tax levy funding, and the project be considered in the future year budget. The thinking is that...
Sorry, can I just have a seconder? Councillor Groves? Thank you.
The thinking here is that, yes, we've got a pilot project this year and going in through the winter, and we can review it after the winter and the success of the program and have it decided at that point in time as to whether to continue the program or not. I guess if staff, and maybe when it comes back, if we do decide that we want to participate a little bit more, we can always look at it in the future. But at this point in time, to remove that was what the intent was.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson?
No, I was on for following up afterwards, so
okay.
I'll take myself off.
But yeah. Councillor Shaughnessy?
I support that removal for similar situations. I worry that just looking at something after 1 year is not really going to give us the full story. So I think it needs a little bit more of an evaluation time. So I will support Councillor DeBoer's removal of that item from the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Buffer?
Well, interestingly enough, I support it, but I have to say at the same time that one of the largest, biggest, most pronounced issues that I have in Ward 1 is roads. Our roads are fast deteriorating. And to do this, I understand with regard to the pilot project, is totally necessary for budget purposes. For purposes of responding to our residents who daily are finding roads crumbling, we need to do something else. I did speak to Public Works, to Fuing, and even suggested that we borrow some more money, as we already have, in order to get some of our roads done faster. And he has shared with me that we do have this pilot program, and we want to see what happens after a full winter, and that's good. But at some point, folks, we have to look at this, because our roads are deteriorating extremely rapidly. And if you live up in Ward 1, we just can't continue to put up with it. But for today, for budget, for the purposes of being a pilot project, I'm prepared to support that. But at some point, this council has to look at what we need to provide to Public Works to do the job right. Thanks.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
Speaking on to this, I don't support removing this. I think for two reasons. One is you start to pull stuff out of the capital projects or on the capital side of the budget lines. You're on a slippery slope, and I think I've been at this long enough that I think it's dangerous territory starting to do this. If you want to cut costs, find it out of the operating side, leave the capital alone. Having said that, we got roads in bad repair. It doesn't matter where you go. You can talk about Patterson. You can talk about Boston Mills. You can talk about anywhere on the Grange. Even on the north-south roads, we're heavily taxed. To me, I think the surface treatment definitely warrants to help us get where we have to go, and that we have to think outside the box to be able to stretch our dollars to get where they need to go. I think this is a I understand where Councillor DeBoer is wanting to come from, but I think this is one that I think is a good thing to have, and so I won't be supporting this, and I respect where Councillor DeBoer wants to go with this, but I think it's a bad decision to make. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I'm prepared to support it as I second the motion because, you know, we've gone through this over and over with the tar and chip program, and I understand the need to fix these roads, but the tar and chip program, in my mind, it's a Band-Aid because the longevity from the tar and chip program is not your return on your investment for doing that is far less than if you do reconstruction or proper rehabilitation. So I mean, I know that we're talking about dollars here. So I think what we really need to start looking at is looking at
more a longer-term fix as opposed to the Band-Aid fix. The Band-Aid fix is a tar and chip. You're in there after 5 years or five, 6 years, you're back at it again because it starts to crumble. With a full reconstruction and rehabilitation, you're looking at maybe 25 years for the road base because you're doing a proper base and that. And I know we've gone through this over the years several times. So, you know, it might be that we want to start looking at how do we fix these roads properly? What is our return on our investment? If it's going to cost us X number of dollars after 5 years, or is it going to cost us X number of dollars after 25 years? So anyway, that would be just my suggestion. I did have a question with regards to the hydro debt. And
Councillor Groves, can we have to stay to the
budget? Okay. I'll wait for the budget. Okay.
Thank you.
So to this motion as well, one of the things that was raised and some concerns were raised by some folks in the community with respect to the partnership for the turf and the
same
track.
Thing.
It's in the report.
I know,
so
but you have
here.
To speak to the amendment that's before us.
Okay. All right. I'll come back on.
I got to keep you guys in track
okay.
so we can
Thank
get through
you.
The budget.
All right. I'll come back on.
Yes,
Thank
please.
You.
Thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I will support the motion. Not that I wouldn't want to see $500,000 going towards helping improve our roads, but I think we need to let the pilot play out its course across all four seasons and provide feedback back on whether it is a program we should continue. And if it is successful, I certainly would support funding it to get more of our Caledon roads done. But the pilot needs to play itself out, and that's why I would support this. And I guess through you, Chair Innes, to finance, I'm wondering... it deals with this, but it will also deal with all our motions. Is there a way to have a running tally of what is being proposed and the effects it will have on the town side and on the blended side?
Ms. Hare?
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, we can certainly do that. Let's put it up on the board right now.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. While we're doing that, we'll just continue down the list. Councillor Downey.
Thank you to you, Chair Innes, to Mr. Wong. I just would like to hear from you in terms of the implications to your department in removing those funds for that project.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. We submitted this project because, as Councillor Befford has stated, we are receiving an increasing number of calls related to the state of our roads. The proposed surface treatment program allows us to deal with probably three times as many roads as a traditional rehabilitation program. So we looked at doing a pilot on Boston Mills this year and looking to see how it would last through the winter. Having heard the discussion around the table today, I can certainly understand council wanting to see the results of the surface treatment, how it lasts through all four seasons. So if council decides to take the program out, we will certainly write a report next year to identify, if council wishes mid-year, we can write a report to identify how it lasted through the winter and possibly what the program could look like going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, could I have the motion back up on the screen, please? I guess what I'm looking at is the last line, and I'm wondering if, with the help of the mover and seconder, that instead of this project being reconsidered in a future budget, which I see as this process next year, I would rather not wait that long. I would like to say that it be reconsidered after the pilot project, and my rationale would be that, as I've already said, I've gone to talk about borrowing money, and we have a pilot project, and I'm quite prepared to wait until that pilot project is over. But if it's over and it's very positive, then this council could make a decision, as an example, to borrow. And I don't think we need to wait a year for that. So I'd like it to be reconsidered after the pilot project is completed. And I think...
Councillor Beckert, would you like to make an amendment to the amendment?
I would.
To read that the project be reconsidered upon the completion of the pilot project?
Yes. Councillor Downey will second that.
Seconded by Councillor Downey. So I'm clearing the board to speak to the amendment only. So moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Downey. to amend the last paragraph to read that the project, that this project be reconsidered upon the completion of the pilot project.
Correct.
So speaking to the amendment, please, only. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted through you to Mr. Wong to ask a question. I thought I heard in your response just previous that regardless of whatever happens here after the pilot has run its course, it was your intention to provide a report back to Council for the consideration on this
Mr. Wong?
Matter?
Through you, Chair Ennis, if the project was approved, basically the way it would work would be that if the pilot program was successful, we would continue on with the roads using surface treatment in 2018, the roads that are identified in the project. If it was not successful, the way it would work, as identified in the actual requisition form, is we actually have a few other roads that we would do using traditional rehabilitation techniques, but we would have less kilometers of roads that we would do using those funds. What's being proposed right now is basically that we wait until after the pilot, and in that scenario, we would write a report in any case.
Okay, because how I understood it is that's what you were going to be doing anyways, would be providing feedback back to Council, basically providing a summary of the pilot. If it's successful, you would, I'm assuming, recommend that we continue to fund it. If it's not successful, you would suggest to terminate it and to address roads in a different way. I'm just looking at it, is with all due respect to the mover, is it redundant? Because will you be coming back with a recommendation based on the results of the pilot?
Councillor Mazzapelli, I think there's no harm in putting it in writing if it makes the Council feel comfortable. As
the
part
only
of the resolution.
Problem I have is that it says to reconsider it. If the results of the pilot is not to support it, we won't be reconsidering it. We will be doing something different. I would just trust staff to provide a report and give us good direction on the results of the pilot.
Mr. Wong, do you want to comment?
Through you, Chair Ennis, thank you for the opportunity to comment on that. My understanding of what's being requested right now is that if the pilot is successful, that staff look at implementing surface treatment program in 2018. That is the only difference in terms of what was written previously and what's being proposed right now, based on my understanding.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
My concern was the pilot project length, and I think the Works Department is saying after the winter is the end of the pilot project. Am I correct in thinking that? Is there a date? Because we know what happens with freezing and thawing, and our roads aren't even drivable in May.
Yeah.
What is the length of the pilot are you now considering?
Through you, Chair Ennis, generally we have our half-load season, which is basically dependent upon the freeze-thaw, and that ends, I believe, May the 10th. So the end of the pilot would be after the last freeze-thaw type cycle.
Okay. Thank you very much. So my thought on this is I think it has to go through one life cycle, because one life cycle being 1 year minimum, to evaluate what happens well after the freeze and thaw, and with the tremendous heat and the higher rate of traffic that we get during the summertime on these roads. So I won't be supporting the amendment because I think the pilot isn't long enough. I think we have to go through 1 year life cycle minimum. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
The intent of the amendment that I was making was I've lived through the tar and chip roads. I think it's a good program. I think it should come back to Council to move it to the next step rather than it just automatically move forward if it's a success. I think it's good to come back to Council. It's good to discuss where we're going to do it and expand the program, but it should come back to Council before we invest in a bigger program, which is exactly what the Fuing was suggesting, is that He would come back, or staff will come back with an assessment of what's happened over the course of the year, and I don't think that this amendment is necessary based on the other, and I think that's and that was always the intent, was that we could still look at it, and that was what we were going to do.
Thank you. Councillor Gross.
Thank you. Through you to Mr. Wong. I remember years ago when Mr. Campbell was our director in Public Works, we went through this program, and we went through a lot of work with this tar and chip or resurfacing program. Do we not have data or any statistics from back then?
Mr. Wong.
Through you, Chair Innes, my understanding is that we are doing something different than what we did in the past. So either it's a different technique or something, it is something different. So we want to test out whether or not this actually will yield a better result than what we did in the past.
So can you tell me the difference between what we did in the past and what we're proposing now?
Through you, Chair Innes, this gets into a technical issue.
I'm just trying to understand.
Where I will ask Mr. Dalmar to actually explain what we're proposing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Dalmar.
Through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Groves. Back in the day when the Town of Caledon did the original surface treatment program, they only did one single lift of surface treatment. They used aggregate that was with the wrong stone size from the town pit. The new process that we are proposing to use is a two-lift program, which will allow us to have better strength on our roads with proper base and drainage as well. This allows us to use a proper aggregate for the area as well within the region of Town Caledon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Omar. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, just to clarify, my only reason for bringing this forward is I felt that the original motion said that we would wait until the next budget process, and I don't want to do that. As soon as the pilot program is over, we reconsider it, and if someone does have a notion of bringing forward a need to borrow or whatever, that's when we should do it. That's the only reason I brought it forward.
Thank you. Councillor McClure.
Yeah, could you tell me what road or roads this has been done on right now?
What's wrong?
Through Chair Innes, we are piloting it on Boston Mills.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Seeing no other speakers on the board, I will call the vote on the amendment to the amendment moved by Councillor Beffert and seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. Now back to the amendment as amended. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. Are there any further comments? Seeing none, I'm just going to add mine. Thank you, Councillor DeBoer, for bringing this forward. I do think that it's fiscally responsible to ensure that we complete the pilot project before we invest in any future money, and look forward to staff bringing back a report as to the outcome of that pilot project. Seeing no other speakers, I'll call the question. All those in support? All those opposed? Carried.
Okay. I did have another one talking to the new general manager. Welcome, David. New to his role, and I think that it was the motion is that the 2018 budget be amended to remove funded change in service level -32, a business analyst, in the amount of 116,626 from the tax levy. In talking to David, I think there is some merit.
Seconded by Councillor Groves.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The desire here is to allow David to come into the role, have a look at the department, and I'm fully willing to, in 6 months' time, if he feels that an addition to his department or into that area or that role is necessary or required, that we look at it at that point in time. But at this point in time, I would request that consideration that we remove it with the intent to try and manage the increase to the residents this year.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. It's funny, that was another one I had on my list to do, so thank you to Councillor DeBoer on that one. Yes, I think I hear a lot of complaints by residents saying that we just keep adding people on and adding people on and adding people on, and we don't streamline our processes. So I look forward to seeing David do a great job on streamlining processes. You'll hear me say that often because my residents say it often. So I do support Councillor DeBoer in removing that one from the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I support the intent of the motion, but as I usually do, I'd like to have staff comment. I know Councillor DeBoer mentioned he had consultations, but and looking at the budget binder, it's for myself challenging to understand the actual impact of not hiring the position. So I'm just wondering if there's staff that can speak to the risk of the. The motion.
As this is Mr. Arbuckle's third day, second day, I'm going to pass this off to our CAO, Mr. Galloway.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. Well, he hasn't been here 24 hours yet, so I'm not sure he's just yet equipped to answer the question. But Councillor Mazzapelli's right in the sense that it's always difficult, especially in a growing municipality, the balance between adding positions and you know, what others may call it as streamlining positions, and it is a real fine balance. I can tell you definitively, without a question of a doubt, that what you've received as part of your budget this year is substantially less than what departments would have liked to see, and a lot of those requests were quite frankly substantiated, but my role and the role of senior management is to try to find a balance with a growing municipality such as Caledon. So this particular position, I know myself and the interim general manager, Judy Porter, we've discussed this. I discussed it just yesterday with Mr. Arbuckle as well, and we feel that giving him just a few more months instead of 24 hours to settle himself and understand everything that is going on within the Strategic Initiatives Department, obviously with some great history and leadership that was provided by Ms. Porter over the last number of months, we don't feel this is a detriment to the budget process, and feel that if warranted and council decides not to add this, we will march on and develop that plan for strategic initiatives going forward without that position involved.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarification, Mr. Galloway. And I just will say for the record, I strongly feel that we are lean, and it is people that provide the services that Caledon gives to our residents and our businesses. And in many cases, we've seen examples where they're overburdened and they need the resources to do the work for our community. So I certainly recognize that as we grow and as we get very active and engaged in rolling out programs and initiatives, they take people to implement. So that's the cost of doing and providing that service. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see these. So, and I thank you for your response.
Thank you. Councillor McClure.
One more question about Boston Mills. You said you did Boston Mills?
Councillor McClure, we're not on that amendment. I'm sorry. You'll have to wait until we're on.
It's ground up between Credit View and Mississauga.
Councillor McClure?
Okay.
It's not on the topic right now. Thank you. Okay, seeing no other speakers, thank you, Councillor DeBoer. We did have a discussion about this, and having had a working relationship with Mr. Arbuckle from the Region Appeal, I know that great things will happen in this department, and I'm excited about that, but I want to make sure that he has the opportunity to develop the department as he requires and sees fit, and feel comfortable with the fact that should he have needs coming forward, that he could bring those to Council at any time once he's been here and sort of had a feel for what's needed in his department. So I fully support that. Seeing no other speakers, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, I do have one more. I actually had two more, but one more heading in this direction, and that is 2018. That the 2018 budget be amended to reduce the funding change service level number 13 operating budget for the new community center in Southfields in the amount of $238,900 from the tax-funded levy and phase in the remaining operating budgets to be revised to $597,250 for the 2019 budget and $525,732 for the 2020 operating budget.
Sorry, can I have a seconder? Second by Councillor Downey.
The intent here is purely to try and get our reduce the budget a little bit. I think we do have the intent, and I think we should be including some additional operational costs in the budget ahead of opening of the facility. And this is kind of what I would say is a balance between adding some dollars into the tax-funded budget to operate the facility and finding some middle ground between that and the increase that we're going to have this year.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I will not be supporting this motion for the simple reason that staff have undertaken the exercise of what it will cost and require as far as human power to operate that facility when it opens, and that was determined to be 11 people, the cost of which I believe is $1.2 million. So instead of having that all come in one budget when those doors open to that facility, staff, rightly so, thought it was wise to implement that over 3 years to get it into the base, which is where it needs to be to fully and continually resource these people financially as that center opens. So I find what staff have done and proposed a way of breaking it into thirds as opposed to a one-time hit of $1.2 million. What this does is it won't change the $1.2 million because that's what 11 people cost. It will defer the balance of the $1.2 million to later years. And for that reason, I'm not going to make a decision that will require the next term of council to take a bigger hit than what is proposed. So I think staff have proposed a responsible plan to manage that and resource that facility. And what was originally proposed is a way to do that. So I won't be taking a cut to that to reduce the impact this year to push it to further budgets. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
To reiterate what Councillor Mazzapelli said, I think we directed staff to go back when we approved this thing to build in on what it would cost over a period, and they've done that, and now say no is wrong. And to me, this is just bad forward thinking. So now all of a sudden, we're going to put a 1% tax increase immediately for the new council to bring something on that we should have taken some responsibility for. As council, we have to make some hard decisions, but I think this is one that's we're really sliding backwards. And as what Councillor Mazzapelli said, this is a bad decision to support this motion. I cannot.
Councillor Beffert.
Yes, to staff, please. First of all, the amount that's listed in this motion, $238,900. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm trying to find it. Is that the total amount for the 1 year for 2018?
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Beffert. So the total amount for the 1 year analyzed budget is just under $1.4 million. It's in the unmet need sheet number 13. What that $238,000 is, when we split it over to three divided by three, it is $477,800, so it's half of $477,800.
Okay.
Is what that is.
Just a question regarding the second part of the motion. Councillor DeBoer is saying that that the budget be revised and we start putting it forward onto the next council. Is there not another way? If we don't know at what state of completion this will be next year, could we not just simply remove it from the 2018 budget and pay for it out of reserves if we have to do something during the 2018 year, as opposed to dumping it for? I mean, that'll still dump something forward because we have to pay it back. Could we not take it out of reserves?
Ms. Hare? Or Ms. Tollett? I know you guys are both looking at each other.
Well,
I'm not sure who to ask. Ms. Tollett? Your mic. Your mic needs to be on.
I'll start, but the treasurer really should speak to the reserve part. So through your chair and as to Councillor Bedford, how you want to phase this project is up to council. So staff sat back and said, okay, let's split it over 3 years. When it's operational, what we need is to make sure we have some funding in there to make sure we can use facility staff to start with some of the construction before it's at substantial completion. We can start some of the program, the facilities. There's lots of things that staff can do before the facilities open. The purpose of this is just to phase in the funding. Depending on when the facility is open, we'll work with finance on how we phase in the staffing resources. If council chose to take out reserves, that's really, I'll leave that up to the treasurer to answer, but it depends on how you want to phase in the project. Right?
Thank you. Ms. Hare?
Thank you. Through the chair, the purpose of phasing in the operating budget for this new community center is to lessen the impact in 2019 and 2020. So even though we don't expect there to be a lot of costs incurred in 2018, what we're trying to do is not use the operating contingency reserve to fund operations, especially when this is something we can foresee, we can plan for it. The operating contingency reserve should be used for unforeseen issues or items that have come up that we can't plan or budget for. So this is why we've made the recommendations that we have, and it's basically to lessen the impact in 2019-2020, because if we don't phase in anything in 2018 and we phase it in purely over 2019 and 2020, not only are you using the operating contingency reserve to fund this, which is something that we should be able to plan for and budget for, we're also going to see almost a 1% tax increase just on phasing in the operating budget, and that's before all the other budget pressures we're going to see in 2019 and 2020. For example, OMPF funding, minimum wage. So there's other budget pressures that could make this a difficult budget in 2019 and 2020.
And I very much appreciate the position you're in and Peggy's in, but I think, again, going back to staff, residents are saying we're paying for something that doesn't even exist. And so I'll support the motion simply because it goes a little bit towards solving that. Thanks.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I would have supported the motion had gone all the way. I guess when this council approved the community center, which was outside of our means, we own it. We own it from a tax perspective. And I think trying to pretend like we're paying for people who aren't there, I understand the facility may be done at the end of spring, but as construction goes, it probably won't be till the fall. I know it got in the ground late. We started construction late. And it's pretty hard to move a Titanic of a community center like that, move it very fast. If you do, then you usually run into problems and something gets missed. So I actually had a motion to not support any of the 11 people. And actually, there's another person who is going to be on the inside here overseeing it from the inside, which was actually, it was number 14. Of 62,296. So there's 12 people to a facility that's not being open till 2019. So I've heard loud and clear from my residents. Figure out how you're going to do it, or you wear it, council. You wear it because you supported it going forward. So I'm, even though I never supported the exorbitant cost and what we were spending, I'm going to wear it because I'm part of council. So this council needs to wear it going forward, and I can't pretend that it's if we're not hiring the people, I'm not supporting it. So I actually, and I'm going to ask the clerk this, because I had a motion to come forward to actually remove it all. And I don't know if this one goes forward, then do I change mine to support the other half? I'm just not quite sure how to handle it, so I need a little bit of guidance. Thank you.
Mr. Gorder.
Through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, it will depend on the result of this motion. So if this one fails, then you could bring forward your motion at another time.
Ms. Tullett, did you want to comment with regards to the timelines and the timing of the hiring of the staff? It's my understanding that some of the staff would be hired prior to the actual doors opening.
Through you, Chair, and as to yourself. So Basically, we would have to hire some people prior to opening the facility. So, but don't think it as we're hiring 11 people or we're hiring staff. The total cost to operate the facility, utilities, maintenance, everything in is just under 1.4. How we phase it in, it again depends on council. So this is to reduce the phase in for 2018, and we'll work with finance on what we need based on when the timing is. So the timing right now is spring 2019. So if that's the case, we probably would hire some people for the latter part of 18 or the early part of 19, because you would have some facility staff that would help with some of the renovations. You would have some of the program staff to help working on the programming for that facility for the next guide. So there is some work that would have to be done prior.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So following on Councillor Shaughnessy's comments, and I know when we built the Wellness Center, we experienced delays in opening that center. We also experienced delays in loss of revenues. We really did not break even on that facility for quite some time when it opened. I also heard a lot of concerns from the community about hiring 11 bodies to fill this community center when we're looking at 2019, I think I heard Ms. Hollett said. So I'm not prepared to support the reduction. I would have supported not hiring at all. I'm sure that when we look at the budget next year, we might be in a better position. I don't know. We might want to start looking at things that... And I did have a question, but I have to wait for it with the hydro thing. But we might find some monies somewhere. I heard what we said last time about not hiring everybody all at once because it's a big hit. I heard Ms. Tollett clear, loud and clear about the 1.4 million also includes other things in there as well, utility costs and that. But $500,000 is a big hit on our budget when the facility is not even built and won't be built right away. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
The intent of the motion was to reduce some of the costs, but leaving enough in that hopefully, knowing the staff would be having to put some bodies on the ground in 18. In no way was the intent to make it so that there wouldn't be some financing available to fund those positions. I think we've got to remember that it is a facility that, when Mayfield West started, was one that we were always planning to put into the community and was always going to be part of the community. I think it comes now down to coming up with what we would think is a prudent way to come up with some dollars in the budget to start funding the facility, and knowing that, you know, I think I'm comfortable in suggesting that the motion that we prepared, Councillor Ennis and myself, with that dollar, there's enough there for them to start, for staff to start to hire, to have staff there that can assist with the completion of the building. I don't think it's the renovations, but I think it would be the completion of the building and getting sort of the final fixtures and stuff implemented and in place, so that when we do have an opening in, hopefully, I think we got to look at 2019, an opening that the building is going to be the standards that we as council would expect and have something to deliver to the community in a program there. So I think that was the intent, that where we didn't want to remove all of the dollars, knowing that for operating, but trying to come up with some sort of middle ground that made sense to us. And that's how we got to that number.
Ms. Tollett?
So through you, Chair Ennis, just to be clear, so if the facility gets delayed and we don't build it and it's not open until fall, we're not going to hire the people. We would put the money back into the reserve. We would just not spend the money. But the purpose of this is increasing your base so that it's not as much of an impact in the following year. So in this motion or this amendment, we're adding $238,000 to your base. If I don't, if the facility doesn't open right away until April 2019, then we wouldn't hire the people earlier enough, and the money would just go back in the reserve. Finance will make sure this doesn't get spent. It's just to create that level of base so that the following year you don't have as much of an impact in your budget.
Yeah, and I'm willing to be optimistic and say that we're going to be open on time, And the track record of the project manager, I believe, has been pretty good with delivering projects
on time and under budget.
Right, so,
Ms. Brake,
At this point in time, that's why we weren't comfortable with removing the entire operating cost. So, and I do think that, you know, I still firmly believe that we will be open on time, and I don't think we can suggest that we want to plan for not being open on time. I think we need to think of being open on time. We've got to put some money in the budget to start to operate the facility and allow staff the discretion to make it work. And as far as where we're sitting a year and a half out almost, we can't tell whether it's going to be completed or not. I think we've just got to look at the track record of the individual managing it.
Thank you. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes. I seconded to get on the floor, but obviously I'm a little bit torn. I think as council, yes, we did make the decision. As Councillor DeBoer mentioned, this is a center that was always on the books. And I think will be a huge achievement for the town of Caledon, as well as the Region of Peel and the province. I spent all morning in a strategy meeting with the LHINs and with PHCS and CCS and all of the funders that are coming to the table. So I understand that maybe there's, you know, looking at that 1.4 in operations is difficult for some around the table, but that is before, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Tollett, that is before any lease agreements, any partnership agreements, any of the revenue streams coming in. No. As I said, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
To you, Janice. That includes all. So we provided council a little bit more of a breakdown in the budget package, and it shows total revenues, assuming some of the partnerships that we're working on, and then it also includes some projected revenues for the swim programs and so on, and then all the expenses related to it.
Thank you. I think moving forward, as was mentioned, you know, we will wear this as council. We did make the decision, and I'm very comfortable owning it, and I'm quite proud of it. I think it's a fantastic project, and I'm not one to put off to tomorrow what can be done today. If staff are saying that this is what is needed, and this is what's needed to move the project ahead and to keep things across the base in terms of then offsetting for what may be a difficult year in 2019 with other budget implications, as Ms. Hare alluded to, I would lean towards not supporting.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I just want to be clear. I read the budget. It was $2.4 million, and once you took all the revenue off, it came down to $1.4 million. Not $1.4 million and then take off all the revenue. It was $2.4. Is that not correct?
That's what Ms. Tollett said.
I'm just clarifying.
Yep.
So through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Shaughnessy. So it is $2 million for rec and about $500,000 for library. So it's about 2.4. Then you add all the revenue, or you deduct for all the revenue, then the net cost is 1.4, just under 1.4.
Okay. That's. I just wanted to be clear because the way it was said, it wasn't as clear, but now it is clear. I appreciate that. So what I want to say is when we move a facility forward and we have 69,000 people to pay for it, and I don't want to mention the pool word, but it pops into my head, you move that forward and you don't have the 100,000 people that we should have had in order to live beyond our means. I would rather see this money go into next year's budget, and if there's another 2,000 people, residents in Caledon, paying their taxes, I'd like to see that go on their taxes, not the 69,000 people who have quite truly and fairly have been paying taxes for a heck of a long time and not gotten anything from a substantial recreational facility. So, and also I want to be clear, it's not about Southfield. I'm happy they've got their community center. It's about when it should have probably the extra facility being put onto it should have come into being, was when our tax base was larger. So I think I just can't say to my people, oh, we just passed a budget for $500,000, $600,000 for people that we're not hiring. And if you look at the community center in Brampton, It was it went way beyond its timelines. If we look at the fire hall here in Bolton, way beyond the expected timelines. So to say that it's going to be done early and on time, I can tell you through 30 years of construction, when people start pushing construction people because they want to, they're thinking more of the timeline instead of the quality of the job, something fails. So I'd like to see this money be on the tax base for next year when it is probably another 2,500 people. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. I will say that all projects that I have worked with this project manager, has been done on time. She has a very, very good track record and something that this municipality should be very proud of. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I guess to your point you just made, I'm not going to make decisions at this table on what I expect counter to projected timelines for construction completion on what I think may or may not happen. I'm going to go on the suggested time frame and make a responsible decision based on that. With respect to the facility itself, again, I could be wrong, but I believe it is a commitment that the town has made that after so many building permits, we will construct a facility. So it wasn't a choice, and I certainly don't think we could have waited till we got a population of 100,000. We are obligated to provide that facility for that community, and we are at that point that we have to do that. This is doing the work in advance to make sure that we have the operating funds to fund those people. And I just will point out again, cutting the one-third in half pushes that balance onto the second and third third. And so the second and third installment are larger and will be an increased operating consideration for future budgets. And, you know, we're not talking about the budget, but just quickly noting that there's things like the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund that are reducing year over year, those are going to put additional operational constraints on the town. So I am going to do what I believe absolutely is right in taking that and breaking it into thirds so that we have it in the base in time to fully staff that building. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor McClure.
Yes, this is my word two. I supported the community center, but I did not support it. The aquatic part of it. The aquatics part of it. Could you give me a breakdown of that? How much a maintenance aquatic part is going to cost us every year?
Sorry, Councillor McClure. Specifically, you're asking what the operational cost for the aquatics component?
Yes.
That's
what I'm asking. That shouldn't be a hard question.
Ms. Tullett?
How many lifeguards are we going to have?
Through you, Trana. So we don't have that broken out by that detail. Like in the budget package, we do break out by how much is aquatics revenue, how much is for staffing and so on for the different areas, but it's not broken out by how much is just for aquatics and how much is for common space or the hub space or vice versa. If we like, we can certainly look into that and provide that to council.
That would be a good idea, but this was a divided council. This was voted on. This was... Everybody in the community talks about this. This has been a problem. We all supported the community center, but not the aquatic part of it. And there's other things happening at the same time. Brampton opened this huge one down 10 times.
Councillor McClure, can you speak to the amendment, please? We're not debating in aquatics. We're debating the amendment to the budget. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, thank you. I see this as a pretty good mediated solution to something that council's been wrestling with. In other words, we're hiring staff to start something we don't have, but we're the ones that created it. And so I see it as somewhat of a mediated solution. I guess I have one question. We're talking about expenses. What about money coming in? Can someone either revenue or planning, whatever, tell me how much are we including in the whole discussion of this new facility that's offsetting even more money that we would have to pay. Obviously, we have new people moving into Southfields and Mayfield West. So can someone give me a sense of how much we are including in that new tax base to offset so that it's not even more money that we're looking at today? I hope that makes sense.
So, Councillor Buffett, are you referring to what the increase in assessment would be for 2019 and 2020, Ms. Hare?
Yes, based on the assessment.
And the projected building?
Yes.
Through the chair to Councillor Beffert. For the 2018 budget, we're looking at $1.9 million of assessment growth. In your budget presentation from November 14th, we have outlined the assessment growth that we project to receive in 2019 and 2020. And we're looking at just over $1 million for 2019 and closer to $1.5 million in 2020.
Am I correct that most of the money from the new assessment will come from the southern part of Caledon?
Through the chair to Councillor Beffert, there's a lot of growth happening both in Bolton and in Southfield. So I don't have the exact figures as to. I could provide them as to what we're estimating from those areas, but those are the significant developments that are occurring right now.
Yeah, I guess I just want to make sure that, and I know you have already, but we have to talk in terms of you've already accounted for increased money coming in through the assessment, and we still need money to put this facility together. I still see this as a mediated solution, giving us some operating funds to get going, and I guess the catch in my mind is, and I heard you, Ms. Tollett, say that if we don't hire the people and we don't have a need to use them, then that money goes into reserves. And that's where I was thinking, why don't we just not spend the money the first year and take that money out of reserves? I know that money's not there to put in reserves, but we've done it in previous years. And you've already explained that, so I'll have to figure that out in my own head. Thanks.
Mayor Thompson.
It's like the old Fram oil filter commercial, pay me now or pay me later. To me, I think is cushioning the tax base. I think that's what they're trying to do. It isn't just having people hired. It's how we build the tax base to ease going forward. And to me, it's good forward planning. So that's the reason why I'm not supporting this at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. I will, seeing other speakers on the board, I will be supporting this amendment as I did work on it with Councillor DeBoer. I do find it is a compromise. I understand that we are going to have to start some programming, provide some operational costs with regards to utilities and examples, and those will start in 2018, and I understand that. So we do have to build into the budget. It's difficult for me to explain to my residents that we're building a base of a budget with funds that we're probably not going to use, and we're probably going to put some of it back into a reserve. Why would we tax them that base in the beginning, especially considering, as others have mentioned, our assessment growth will be increasing in 2019 and 2020, and that assessment growth will help to alleviate some of this tax increase on the base. So I found that this was a compromise. It's ensuring that there is adequate funding in the budget in 2018 for any necessary cost moving forward, and I thought that it was a mediation. I can't support not providing any funding into this into this project, as suggested by some other councillors. Should this fail, that they would be bringing forward a motion to remove all of the funding for 2018. I can't support that because staff have already indicated that they will need resources to begin works on this project. So I think that isn't fiscally responsible. But I think that this is a compromise, making sure staff have what they need. We're starting to build the base, and then in 2018 we will have to account for that staffing that is required and all the other operational needs. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Well, I may disagree with the chair. I think it is fiscally responsible, the suggestion, because exactly what Councillor Beffert said, he's talked about the reserve. So if we need, I do not believe we need a single person in 2018, because even if it opens in June, not even sure if anybody bothers using a pool in June, but if it opens in June, what's going to happen is in next fall is you're going to put that into the budget. So you're going to have it for 2019. It's not that you're not going to have it. You're going to have it for 2019 because there's no way you're going to start moving furniture into a half-constructed building. So it doesn't make sense. So what Councillor Befford asked was about the reserve fund. So should you be get caught short, just a tiny bit, why wouldn't you just access the reserve fund? I don't get. You just say you're going to put it back into the reserve fund if you don't use it, so why don't you just pull from the reserve fund should the unlikelihood be that you need it?
Ms. Hare?
Through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, what I just want to once again clarify what we're trying to do here. In the 2018 budget, we're proposing $477,000 to be added to the base budget. If this money isn't utilized, we will be putting it back into a contingency reserve and then drawn upon and funded. It's going to fund the 2019 operations and the 2020. Things that we have to consider is that there could be startup costs. There could be additional costs incurred during those years when we're starting new programs and starting the facility for the first time. What the worry is that if you have this budget all be phased in 2019 and 2020, it's going to be a large budget pressure to happen in those years. The operating contingency reserve should not be used as a funding tool. It should be used for unforeseen contingencies. So yes, if for some reason the community center was ready in January 2019, that would be a reason to use the contingency reserve. But we have the opportunity to plan, and that's what we're trying to do, because that's the reserve is not meant to just draw upon as a funding tool.
Okay, that sounds wonderful, but you just said something that scared me from a business perspective, that we didn't account for startup costs.
Through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, the budget looks at what the annualized cost will be. There could be unforeseen costs incurred because as you open up new programs, perhaps it takes a couple months for people to be enrolled. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about startup costs. What we budgeted for is an annualized budget that we expect to recur year after year.
Okay, but if I were a business and I'm opening a brand new business, my startup costs are much higher than my next year once I'm running and I got everybody. So it scares me to think that we aren't looking at what it's really truly going to cost us.
Sorry,
from a startup perspective.
Mr. Wong?
Just a second, please. Let me finish, Councillor Annis. So it disturbs me because if we were running a business, we would be having a higher cost the first year. Actually, most businesses would have to run it probably for 3 or 4 years in order to see what they're actually going to make. So I know Mr. Wong would like to say something. I'm happy to hear what he has to say. Thank you.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I think in the latter part of what Councillor Shaughnessy said, that was what I was going to say. As a new facility opens, you may not have revenues right away. You may not have full classes or whatever we planned right away, and that's what I believe Ms. Hare was referring to in terms of startup. It takes some time for the momentum to build up in terms of realizing full revenues. That's what we were referring to. And just... I just wanted to see if I can make clear what we were proposing. As Councillor Mezzapelli mentioned, we need to add $1.4 million to the town's budget to operate the facility, the rec center and the library, on an annual basis sometime in the future, $1.4 million. What staff are proposing is to ease that in over 3 years. And what there is an alternative where we wait until the year that the facility opens and we add $1.4 million to the budget all in that year. That is, if we did that, that would be a 2.3% tax increase just in 1 year for one facility. What we were recommending is to phase that in over 3 years so that the impact is spread over 3 years. It's not 2.3% just in 1 year. As Ms. Hare said, there are other pressures that will be that we will be facing in those future years. So right off the bat, 2.3% is a high tax increase to start off with.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Wong, but maybe it's how it was presented to council and then how our residents interpret it, because it definitely said for 11 people. Didn't say we needed operation. It said 11 people. And how do I go back and tell my people that we're putting money in for 11 people, which we're not hiring? The optics, talk about transparency, the optics looks really bad. So once again, I cannot move forward because I can't get that out of my head that my staff told me it's for 11 people that we're not hiring. It just, I can't get my head around it. I apologize. I just can't get my head around it.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ness. And at this point in the game, I don't think anybody's going to be changing their opinions, but I just feel I have to say there is a distinct difference between an operating contingency reserve and the base operating budget. To have staff, you need to have it in the base budget for year over year to pay for those people. So if we want to move the numbers around and take from consider taking from an operational contingency reserve, that's a one-time hit. And if you want that to be sustaining, you're going to be constantly, year over year, drawing from a contingency reserve, which that's not the intention of the reserve to fund those kind of things. You need to get it into the base so that you can fund that expense. And I apologize, I had my number wrong. It's $1.36 million, not $1.2 million. That amount year over year. So moving the numbers around, you're deferring a greater increase in future years, considering taking it out of reserves. That is a one-time hit. You're going to have to get it in the base, and we are basically at this point considering just deferring that and having bigger amounts in future years. We've split it over 3 years. I think staff have it right, and I'm going to support them on this.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
The intent was never to support removing it entirely. I know exactly why staff included in the budget, whether they hire the staff or not, because we do have to balance it out. We can look at having the complete amount in the next council term if you want, or splitting the two amounts, but that isn't reasonable. What we tried to find here was something that would cover the costs in the short term, recognizing that, yes, operating reserves aren't meant to hire people that you know you're going to need on a full-time basis. So the intent here was to present something to the members of council, knowing that the discussion was heading around whether this was something that was needed, and this was an intent to be something of a balance between the two options that were being discussed, and that was why we decided to bring this forward, just so that we could have that discussion. So thanks.
Thank you. And I think it's difficult for our residents when they read it and they think that this operating increase is for 11 staff. But we need to be very clear that this increase is not for just 11 staff. It's for operating the facility. I don't want to throw this back on staff, but the way that it was presented in the budget, it does appear, and I can tell you that I heard from a number of residents who said to me, A, why are we hiring 11 new staff? B, why are we hiring them when there isn't a facility for them to operate? And C, why is it costing us $1 million or $1.4 million to hire 11 new staff? So our residents need to understand that this is not simply the hiring of 11 new staff, that this is to actually operate the programming, the utilities, the actual cost of operating the facility. The whole point of this motion was to say we're not hiring all the 11 new staff right now. We're providing some funding to help alleviate that the funding gap that will be put on future years of taxpayers, but to make sure that there are some funds available for 2018, because there will be costs incurred for operating the facility and the programming in 2018. My one question before we vote on it is to Ms. Tollett. Is there any increase in service level or programming that is happening in 2018 to assist the Mayfield West community? I know that there's a temporary site set up. And is this part of the funding, or is that funding separate from this?
Through you, Chair Ennis. So in the 2017 budget, there was approval for a temporary site, and most of that's lease costs. and then some retrofits, and so that is was already approved. It's not part of this.
Okay. So I think that this is a compromise. I can't support pulling all of the funding out because we do have things that we have to pay for in 2018, and I don't want those things to come out of the contingency reserve fund. So I think that this is a compromise. That being said, there's no other speakers on the board. All those in favor? All those opposed? Fails. And Councillor DeBoer, you have one more?
That the 2018 budget be amended to add an unfunded capital project 18-104 Westview Park accessibility improvements to the amount of $45,000 from the town tax levy funding and $40,000 from the Palgrave Rotary Club. We were approached last year with the Palgrave Rotary to do some renovations in this park, and staff worked with us to make the modifications, and the Rotary Club pursued funding sources themselves, plus I believe through Rotary International that they've secured some funding to the tune of $40,000. So we're asking that we have a funding partner to almost half the project and an improvement in a park within the Palgrave Village, and would like to have support for it.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Groves. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Yes, it was actually a motion I was bringing forward because it was about accessibility. And this project came to Accessibility Committee, and we fully supported it. I noticed it was in the pink sheets and spoke to some Rotary members, and they did want it to come forward. And I think the fact that it's a collaborative effort between Palgrave Rotary, who does an amazing job for our community, and the amount coming out of the tax levy, and the fact that it's supporting accessibility, I think makes it a win-win on three different fronts. So I will be supporting it.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, and I second the motion for those reasons. I think it's great that we are having a park that is accessible, and the funding partnership, because that's the direction I think most municipalities are moving towards, and certainly we've been working on partnerships for quite some time now, so this is great to see this come forward, and I'm happy to second that.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
Yes, I do believe it's timely because I think the funding from Rotary is only this coming year, so we only have that funding envelope from them, so I think it's timely that we need to do it. It also is a big benefit to the Silver Birch group that are in the old post office there that I think would definitely make accessibility work for them as well, so I think it's very important.
Thank you. As Councillor DeBoer said, we have been working on this for the past year. I know that Rotary Club have secured funding from their organization, and as well as secured some funding from in-kind services from local businesses. I think that this is a great way to make an improvement in our community, as well as to help White Birch, which already make great use of the trailway and its accessibility upgrades. So I think that this only further promotes the connectivity within that community. And as mentioned before, if we don't do this project this year, that funding from Rotary becomes null and void. So seeing that, no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Carried. That was it, Councillor DeBoer?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy. Oh, sorry, can I? Yep.
Am I okay? Like everybody else here, I'm sure we're all looking to put something in or take something out. I guess I'm going to pull in something that's sitting in our pink sheets for Caledon Village, and it's the land. Did you want to put that up, Carrie, or the one on the corridor land use?
You can go ahead and read it, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Sure. That the 2018 budget be amended to add the unfunded capital project 18-150 Caledon Village Highway 10 Corridor Land Use and Transportation Feasibility Study in the amount of $100,000 from the tax levy. So let me just, I did send everybody on council an email on.
Sorry, just need a seconder.
Oh.
Mayor Thompson?
Nope. No, I think it's better, Doug.
Oh, sorry, Councilor Befferit?
Yes.
I looked over it. That was the only hand that I saw up.
Okay. So let me explain. Last year, we tried to put this into the budget, and it was turned down. Even though we had, I just remind council and those here today that it did come forward in 2014 as part of a major motion on looking at the corridor in Caledon Village, which is a controlled access highway. It's been frozen in time. After that, the Ministry of Transportation for the first time had said, well, if you bring us a study, we'll consider looking at it and seeing if we can be supportive of it. But last year it didn't make it through council. So then we had a workshop with about 35 people, probably five people from MTO, five or six people from the region, town, the Ontario Stone, Sand and Gravel Association, Ontario Trucking Association, et cetera. And we met and did a three-hour workshop just next door. And what I heard once again from the MTO was that bring us a study, show us what it is, and we will consider it. And then talking to my regional partners also, they said, you know what, if you don't get the study done, all it will ever be is just talk. When I spoke to the Minister of Transportation, Mr. Del Duca, he says, bring me something that I can work with. I know you got the passion for it, Councillor, but I need to see an actual study and what can be done. So I'm bringing this forward now. I know it's an add to the budget, but it was also a promise from this council in the original motion back in December 16th, 2014. And staff have worked on this for the past 3 years. So, and we, as we all know, we don't know whether we're going to be here next year or not. There's an election coming up. And I think Caledon Village, which has been devastated by the highway, which is all running already over capacity in high time, deserves to be revitalized. So this is a really important factor. So it's here again. For your consideration to move it out of the pink sheets and just understand that this is a necessity. We've got the ear of the ministry, the region appeal, my staff who I deal with on a day-to-day basis supports the concept, and we need to move it forward. Thank you.
Councillor Befferit.
I would support the motion, and I guess I'd like to just give a summary of the meeting that Councillor Shaughnessy was talking about. And it basically boiled down to two things that need to be discussed. Either move the village or move the highway, because it's serious enough that something has to be done. And that's why we talked about a bypass. That's why we talked about a different village core, getting them away from the congestion, and what to do with the gravel trucks that are going to increase in numbers. And again, the ministry won't do anything, the region won't do anything without a study to base this decision on. But everybody agreed that day, move the village or move the highway. So I would support this.
Councillor DeBoer.
The sheet for this capital project says the region appeal is undertaking a review of the situation. Has that review been completed, and have we seen that here? I just wonder.
Ms. Tullett.
Through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor DeBoer. So the region did the workshop that the councillors are referring to a couple weeks ago. And that study was just to bring everybody to the table to discuss the issues within Caledon Village from a traffic perspective, from a land use perspective, and so on. So the outcome of that, we still haven't heard. They're supposed to bring back something next year to tell us what the outcomes from that workshop would be. But it would be minimized impacts. So it might be some traffic issues, some things they can do, but not... it would be in the new year they would report back to us.
So I would suggest then that your recommendation or the staff comment on this one, it says recommended that the above work not take place until the completion of the region appeal work, I would think would still hold. And then once that work is done, they'll notify us and we'll go from there as far as a plan is what staff would, that would be the direction that you would be thinking.
Ms. Tullett.
Through you, Chair, and as to Councillor Borah, that's why we've put it in the unfunded list.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
There's a little confusion here. One is a bypass, which could be a 10 to 20 year change. And one is the land use planning.
Sorry, was that a question?
No, I'm waiting for people to stop chatting. I'm not sitting here talking, wasting my breath, and having people just yak away.
Councillor Shaughnessy?
I'm just
waiting. Would you like to finish?
Well, thank you. They stopped. Thank you. I'm sorry. I just get tired of it. So we can't do anything with the village unless we move forward. And they specifically said Town of Caledon needs to do their land use study. And I'm not going to put any staffer on the spot here. But if we don't do this, then we're saying to heck with Caledon Village. We don't care. And I... Yeah, Ball voted on it in December 2016 and supported that motion. Now, this is actually the work that needs to get done. So I don't know what the hesitation is, but this is a necessity, an absolute necessity to the people in Caledon Village. And considering we agreed to put the highway through the center of their village and break them up into four pieces, I think it would be the least we can do and try to figure out how to redevelop Caledon Village. But it requires a land use planning exercise, which I can't do. The Town of Caledon needs to do it. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Point of clarification. So for land use study, and one is we got to key area that's residential that needs to be commercial, but again, you got to look at the holistic view of this. For it's not just traffic; it's about people living there and how to make things better. Question is, have we got staff dedicated to this? If we do the study, because to me, we need an outcome at the end of the thing.
So through you, Chair, no, we don't have any staff identified at first because it's unfunded, and normally we would have a consultant that would have to be hired to do the study.
Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers on the board, all those, sorry, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Beffert. All those in favor? All those opposed? There was some hands that didn't go up. All those opposed? Motion fails. Are there any further amendments? Questions? Sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy?
I had more.
Do you have multiple? How many
yes.
do you have?
Well, it depends.
Okay. Just so I know when you're done.
Yes, here we go. This one has to do with the $15,000 to work with the Peel School District Board. Did you want to put that one up? That the 2018 budget be amended to add a new 2018 capital project regarding an arts and cultural feasibility study for the Alton Historic Schoolhouse in the amount of $15,000 from the tax levy funding, and $15,000 will come from the Peel District School Board. This is, staff did a workshop on this.
Sorry, I just need a seconder.
Oh, sorry, Doug.
Councillor Beffert. Thank you. Go ahead.
Staff did a workshop on this, and we filled up the community room in Alton on looking at what this Alton Historic Schoolhouse could be. But once again, we ran into difficulties with that we actually need somebody to come and do a proper feasibility study to understand the whole workings of the historic schoolhouse and see whether it's feasible or not. And at one of our meetings, Peel District School Board said that they would support the effort with $15,000. And then if we did the $15,000, then we could do the study. So I'm hoping that they still will support this effort. Should everything fall apart after this motion, should something like not get supported, then I'm hoping that it would still go to some sort of arts and culture opportunity. since we have our arts and culture, but we don't put any money towards it. So this is a great opportunity to get one of our historic schoolhouses up and running and in a partnership opportunity. I'll let Doug speak to it.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
Thanks very much. I didn't know this was coming forward, but we've had several meetings with regard to this issue. And at one of the meetings that we had at the school, I remember asking if both the school board and the town of Caledon would go together and hire a consultant to give us some sense of where we stand with this building. We don't own it. It's owned by the Peel District School Board. And at this point, we just don't have any clear picture of how, number one, we can get the doors open, and then number two, when the doors are open, what are we going to do with it? That was my understanding, and perhaps Mr. Wong can help me out here, is that when I asked if both would put some money forward, I was told by Mr. Wong, I believe, that yes, we could find that money if that's what the school board would agree to do, $15,000. I'm not going to say it's pocket change, but it's something that maybe we could find in order to move towards an agreement. I'm not sure where the school board stands at this point, whether they've officially agreed to do that or not. I see stands in the room and could be corrected. But Mr. Wong, is that close to what we talked about? Or am I putting you really on the spot?
Through Chair Innes, it is putting me on the spot, but luckily I actually wrote staff wrote a report on this, and we outlined that even though the verbal commitment was made to the town from the school board in terms of funding, I believe $15,000 for a study, what we identified was the cost to renovate the old Alton Schoolhouse did not make it feasible, or staff do not recommend putting in the money to renovate the Alton Schoolhouse. And as a result of that report and at that meeting, staff were directed, economic development staff, I believe, were directed to host a public meeting to get ideas from the community as to what could happen with the old Alton Schoolhouse. That meeting took place, and I believe we're waiting for a report to come back to talk about the results of that meeting.
Well, thanks very much. And I guess that's where it sits right now. I mean, it's easy for people to come together as they did that night and have great ideas about what to do with the school. But as I'm going to reiterate, we don't own the school, and we don't know how we can open the doors. And I think what I need to see right now is some kind of passion between both the school board and the town of Caledon to make this thing work. It's going to cost a lot of money no matter which way you look at it. We all know that. And so we'll have to work as a community to make it happen. Whether we get this money or not, I think the passion from the two groups to actually sit down and start talking about this, and I'll take Mr. Arbuckle by there on Thursday, and things like that may lead us to something to make this happen. So thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. This is one of those wonderful partnerships that we just talked about on West Side Park in Palgrave.
Westview,
thank you. West Side, I'm thinking West Side Story or something, where we have a partner, and we do have Stan here, and Peel School Board is still willing to support us in a partnership. But we have to do something. If we don't do anything, then nothing will happen. So let's look at the opportunity, and Mr. Wong is correct. He did a report, but he just did it from one view, which is why I brought that motion to council, where we were to look at it from an arts and culture perspective and partnership opportunities. So he is correct in that he did one little piece of the puzzle, but the arts and culture, as Alton has been determined to be an arts and culture area by the town of Caledon, it only seems reasonable that we look at this opportunity. So yes, Peel School Board wants to work with us and provide some of the money. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Well, I philosophically support such an endeavor, and I knew that there was a report back a while ago, and I didn't remember all the details, although I do recall it was cautionary. Mr. Wong brought some of it back to my memory. I wouldn't say it's a small piece. I think it's a significant practical piece. Again, I support the intent of this, but as Mr. Wong had suggested, I would prefer to go the route of getting the report back, looking at this partnership consideration in light of that, to have a fulsome conversation where all the information is on the table before making that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
I think this is great if we can put this together. Do we have written confirmation from the school board that they're good for the 15? Or is they're finished their budget now, so
Mr. Wong?
We don't know. Do we know?
Through Chair Innes, I do not have any written confirmation. We met with the school board in the summer of 2017, and they offered verbally to help fund a study up to $15,000 their share.
Okay. Even though I'm not supposed to take questions or answers from the audience, but I will ask Mr. Cameron since he is here. Was it approved in your 2018 budget?
Yes, $15,000.
Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I'm big on partnership because I don't think anyone should go alone, and having a willing partner and a great partner at that, the school board, is great. So for $15,000 to the taxpayers, I'm okay with moving this forward to look at it and see how best to use this facility. So happy to support it.
Councillor DeBoer.
I just wonder if through this exercise, did staff have an idea of what it was going to cost or preliminary costs on making this building habitable?
Mr. Wong.
Through Chair Innes, now I am going from memory. I believe the estimated cost from now until 2019, I think the five-year cost was around $500,000
or $600,000. So I think it probably bodes to have, rather than having this come off as a one-off now, it probably should be part of a bigger discussion of what's it going to actually take to invest into doing anything with the building, let alone something specific.
And through you, Chair Innes, that was the purpose of the Finance and Infrastructure Services report earlier this year. It recommended purely from an investment. So if the town does take over this facility, which it does not own currently, and we would have to put in $500,000 or $600,000 to bring it up to a state that we could use the facility, and we at that time recommended not to move forward with it. So if council chooses to do additional studies, the fact that we would have to make upfront initial investments to bring it up to a state where we could use probably does not go away.
Yeah, and this is the same discussion that we had a number of years ago when we looked at the town's ownership of Palgrave School, and it ended up coming where the investment that we were going to have to make there was becoming more and more than what we were going to recoup, so we actually sold the facility to somebody who could put the money into it because we weren't going to get it out. So I think we're looking at heading down the same road with this one. So I think I wouldn't be supporting this project. I think we need to have a fulsome discussion around whether we're really going to have it. And yeah, the staff report this summer didn't let us down that road.
I think Ms. Porter has, or Mr. Arbuckle has the full amount.
Through the chair, I'm feeling brave enough to answer my first question because I have a briefing note in front of me, which is wonderful. So. Thank you. So facilities report presented to committee on August 29th, estimated project capital cost based on the building condition assessment recommendations over the next 5 years of $652,000 and ongoing annual operating cost of approximately $82,500.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
That was really brave. Okay, so nobody said here that the town of Caledon was putting that money into it. So, I mean, I think everybody's jumping the gun. We were looking at partnerships. We already have some money sitting elsewhere dedicated, not here at the town of Caledon. So to say town of Caledon was going to put $600,000 into this, no. That's what they said it was going to cost. And actually a number of our experts at the meeting didn't support that because the person who did it didn't understand how the foundations breathe, and that if you go and you put the concrete in them, all of a sudden your structure starts to deteriorate. So even I disputed that. But this isn't about that. This is about not what it's going to cost. What will the community be able to support the tourism opportunity and the art and cultural opportunity? We had a number of partners. We had PAMA. We have the gentleman who probably was instrumental in putting the Mississauga Art Center together. He now lives in Alton. And so this is a great opportunity, but we need to do the work first, because we have to look at not the structure, but actually, does the surrounding area, would it support, what would it support? And in order to do that, we have to find out. And if we've got a partner at the table and we have designated Alton the art community, then I think we need to spend a little money and hopefully we realize something that's really, truly special. But nobody here said it was going to be Town of Kellen's $500,000. There are lots of opportunities from, because it is a historical building, lots of government opportunities from higher levels as far as funding opportunities. So I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Councillor McClure.
Yeah. I've been listening to this for 2 hours. I'm a Scotchman. I like to spend somebody else's money. All we're talking about is spending taxpayers' money. Why can't we think of naming rights for the Southfields Community Center, for the arena, for this here? It's... I like the idea too.
Councillor McClure, you can't name a study. This is not a facility.
I just had a suggestion.
Okay, thank you.
You're also thick-headed. All you want to do is spend somebody else's money. That's all I got.
Councillor Beffer, Councillor McClure. I just caution you on your accusatory tone of all the other council members. It's not appropriate. Councillor Beffer.
I'm afraid to say I'm old enough to remember when a few cars needed a crank to start them. And this is a situation where we need a crank to start us. We've got a very beautiful old school, declared a heritage school. We're sitting there. We honestly, and I think even the school board doesn't know what to do. They want to do something, and so do we. And so half the crank is purchased. The school board has passed $15,000. We need a measly $15,000 to get a report done so that we can come back to this council and say, we believe that whether it be partnerships or whatever else is recommended, that we can get something going here. We can't let this building sit and deteriorate forever. It's on our backs that this building is this focus of Alton. We've got a custodian up there that every once in a while still goes and rings the bell. God bless them. And we need to take maximum use of this building for seniors, for arts, for culture, for whatever. And I would really like to see everybody just pass $15,000 and let's move on.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So I'm just looking at it from a number of a different perspective. One is tourism, and I think that we pay Hills of Headwaters. We pay them a fee every year to look at tourism. This is a great opportunity for tourism for the area. Economic development, I think, is another great opportunity to generate some good economic development for that area. To add on to what you do have in Alton, the arts and culture, we focus on a lot of other things for communities, but one of the things that we really don't put a whole lot of consideration or effort into is arts and culture. Arts and culture isn't just, you got a bunch of people acting or dancing or singing. It really is something that brings out...
self-confidence, self-esteem, and builds a lot of that in folks who would normally not be able to. They're not extroverts, they're introverts, but through arts and culture it brings that out. So exploring the idea to see whether it's feasible or not for $15,000 and you have a partner at the table, I don't think that it's a huge amount to ask for, because I think that you'll probably find that the return will be worth it. But we don't know that. We don't know that, and I guess that's why we're asking for this feasibility study, because through the feasibility study, we will be able to determine a whole lot of things. Partnerships, I would think, would be part of the feasibility study, so that we're not going it alone. And I understand, and I heard the figure that Mr. Arbuckle put out there that was reported to us. But again, I don't believe that that would be something that we would be funding alone. We do have a staff person dedicated to look at partnerships, and I think that this is an opportunity to utilize Mr. Hayashi's skills and expertise in the partnership area to look for those partnerships. So asking for $15,000 to look at these possibilities, I really don't think it's a lot. And when you look at the return for the community, I think that you'll probably see that it might be worth the $15,000. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thought somebody was ahead of me. Sorry. Actually, I just wanted to Councillor DeBoer. I know he had a motion last week that we all just sort of put through having to do with a sports hall of fame. And that would be, that's part of culture. That's a great add-on, but it's not something that could stand alone. It needs to be in conjunction with something else. So it's a possibility. I'm just talking to Councillor DeBoer right now about his motion from last week, is that that his Sports Hall of Fame might actually fit into that venue quite nicely as one of many other opportunities. So I'll let it go, and I think we should just vote on it. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Just a question on process. As we work through these, as these motions go through, we're going to do reductions, we're going to do increases and add projects. How are we going to, I think we talked about tracking and keeping track of how each individual one was going to change, but when we swing around to the end of the stack of papers that we have, and we find out that we're actually higher than where we are now, what's the process that we go to?
Mr. Porter.
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, I don't think that's a question I can answer. It's up to Council. After each motion, it was requested that Finance display what the rate is at, and it's up to Council to determine how they wish to move forward.
And at the end of the day, when we come to Council, you can still bring amendments forward at that point in time as well. Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair Innes, to I guess either Mr. Galloway or to Mr. Arbuckle. In terms of resources allocated through the Triple P, you've slotted $15,000 for a potential feasibility study, but is there a mechanism within that department to have our tourism officer, to have our Triple P sit down and have these conversations with the partners at the table just to determine the best course of action without having to partake in the study at this point?
Mr. Galloway.
Well, Mr. Arbuckle's on a roll in his second day, so it's all to you, Mr. Arbuckle.
Do you want to attempt to?
Or maybe not. I certainly can answer that question. All joking aside, the partnership and sponsorship piece, just in general, there certainly is a lot on that individual's plate. I believe council, just within the last 2 or 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Porter, were provided an update on all of the initiatives that one individual
fostering all the opportunities and the opportunities that have actually come to fruition. So there certainly is an opportunity to continue that discussion on any initiatives council may wish to put on that individual's plate, obviously with the advice and support of Mr. Arbuckle going forward, no doubt, just from a workload capacity perspective, but that is what that individual is there for and is to be utilized for.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Just because it's putting Dave on the spot, but his team has already been working on it. Your tourism and Ben have both been working significantly on this. So we've done that. We've done that conversation already, but we need to, you know what, when I was a resident, I hated the word study. Thought we did too many of them. But what I quickly learned is that if you don't do the study, you don't get the money to do what you want to do. So we have to make these studies effective, and effective means our partnership, and I think we need to move ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to support the recommendation, and the reason is I look at our past lessons, Orange Lodge being one of them, where we assumed the responsibility and didn't do the studies, and now we're stuck in a situation where what do we do with it, and we kept investing more money after more money. I think that we've spent money and time internally with the report that came forward in the summer from Mr. Wong with regards to the current state of that. And I'm presuming that this study will not only look at proposing an arts and culture study, but it will also include the actual structural integrity, any costs associated with bringing the facility up to standards to be able to be open to the public. Would that be correct?
Chair Innes, the report that came in the summer actually talked about that 600 plus thousand actually brought it to a state where we could use it. I would agree with you that if there's an identified use out of this next study, then we would have to go and cost out what additional capital improvements are required over and above that 650,000 to bring it to that additional use.
So I personally would only support this cost if it actually included that, because I think that that's a fulsome report. I think that you have to have all the information before council to make that decision. If we're saying that we're going to spend $15,000 to see whether or not we should have an arts and culture center at this location, no. If you're saying we're going to spend $15,000 to see whether or not we can have an arts and culture center, as well as whether or not the costs associated with assuming the responsibility of that building and the upgrades and the operational costs that are necessary, then absolutely I'm all for that, because I think that that gives us a full picture and we're able to make a better judgment and decision. So you're saying that that is not included in this cost?
Chair Innes, I don't...
So then I can't support it. And I would be more than happy to see this particular item come back to include that cost. If it doesn't, I don't want to make a decision strictly based on whether or not an arts and culture center should be put at this location, because I think that there's a much broader decision to be made. We've already had the discussion this past summer, and this council was not willing to spend the $600,000 plus that was necessary to make the improvements to this facility at that point in time, no matter what goes into that facility. So I think that if you want council to make a decision, you have to have all of the information present. Some council members are saying that perhaps that assessment was not as accurate as they thought that it could be or should be, which I understand. So if it was part of that, I could support it. At this point, then unfortunately, I cannot support it. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I never worked so hard for $15,000 in my life. Sorry, guys. Okay. So I understand where Councillor Innes is coming from. But until you know whether it's even feasible or not, and until you know the uses that are going to be in there, you can't begin to possibly price something out. Until you put Kevin Hayashi on a partnership, looking at the partnership, until you take my 10-member team who have been meeting And looking at this and doing costing and understanding what other people do in all arts and culture, you can't possibly have all those parts without first the feasibility study. Now, I do agree on one point, that if it comes back to council, that should be part of it. But that's not what the feasibility study is about. But I would agree that when it comes back to council, we should have evaluated partnerships. We should have evaluated who else is going to possibly give us money to make it a full decision. But that's not the feasibility study that we're talking about. But I do agree coming back with a full report to council would be the right thing to do.
Councillor Beffert.
I just wanted to clarify in terms of the actual study. What we need is someone to help us, and I mean help both sides, figure out how can we get the doors open, what kinds of uses for that building are most important, and what would it cost us to get in there. That's what the study's about. And then we can make decisions, which we'll have to do, as to what part we play in it. But we need to know, how do we get the door open? What kind of uses can we make of it for not only arts and crafts or whatever it is, for tourism, but also what kind of work do we have to do in this building to bring it up to that point? That's what the study's about.
But I think Mr. Wong has already said that the study does not include what kind of work needs to be done to get the facility up and running.
Well, obviously the consultant is going to use the reports that we've already got established, and that would be part of what he had to do.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. What I was struggling to say earlier was that the $30,000 was brought forward at the meeting. Staff have not looked at it to see whether or not $30,000 can do what members of council wanted to do, have not scoped it out. So $30,000 is a number right now, the scope of the $30,000. I think council can provide some direction. If council wishes to include a fulsome look at what it could be used for and the capital costs required to bring it to that use, that can certainly be incorporated. But, once staff have that direction, we can go out and scope it, cost it, and if it costs more than $30,000, we would report back to council.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer.
I guess the question would be, should we be making, and this may be to the chair, an amendment to ask for what we want included in the study and for staff to report back to council prior to initiating the next steps of the study. For example, the full costing of the study itself, but then also the renovations and making sure that the scope of the work that we want to see is outlined prior to it actually going and having a consultant retained to do the work. So my question would be to staff, would that help with the stepping stones? Because I don't know if you're comfortable with what exactly you're going to be doing with $30,000, and I think it's important. Yes, it's only $15,000, but it's still $15,000, and every dollar we should be concerned about. So I'm not sure if there's anybody. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Mr. Arbuckle.
Thank you. Through the chair. So the original direction, from my understanding, was that we would come back, have the public meeting, come back and report back the results of that meeting. I think it would be appropriate at that time if we continue to bring back the results of that meeting for context for council, and then also include maybe a scope for that potential feasibility study so that you have a full breadth of the information. The one caution from a council perspective is that there were items outside of arts and culture brought forward at that public meeting. I think that's what you're referring to, Councillor Beffert, is I think it would be appropriate for council to understand the full context of that and then bring back, and then we can make a fulsome decision in relation to the scope of what that arts and culture study may look like.
So Councillor DeBoer, you could defer it until the point where staff come back with their report from that meeting.
And I'm suggesting and I'm thinking that that's exactly what should happen, because staff are working on it. We're kind of in the middle of the process, and a staff report, like you said, the staff report is coming. So I'm going to make the motion that we defer this item.
Okay. Since you've deferred it, there are no speakers to a deferral. I need a seconder. Councillor Downey. So moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey to defer this until the staff report has come back to Council. All those in favour? All those opposed? Fails? Councillor Shaughnessy?
I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but anyways, I understand Council's concerns, but this is a huge opportunity. And I think we need to grasp it and work with our partners. It doesn't happen overnight. And it wasn't a report that was supposed to come back. It was probably just a memo. It wasn't, and I'm seeing a yes, it was just a memo to come back about what was the outcome that night. But if anybody's been to Alton, you understand that you need, we're going to call it tourism, and we've got a tourism person here at the town of Caledon, and we're spending money on arts and culture, or we've got somebody that's trying to do that, this is the perfect opportunity. And Sierra Planning and PAMA, they have the names of everybody. They could have probably given me a report that I could have used to say, here, something similar to this. But unless you do the legwork, we can't go to the next step. So we need to do the legwork. So I'm just asking Council to move forward and support this.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. And I would certainly caution against trying to minimize the cost being asked for here. $15,000 is $15,000, and we need to be diligent and thoughtful on every dollar that we spend, regardless of the amount. I was trying to look up the direction to staff to, because I do recall coming out of that meeting, there was a direction to engage with the community. And I don't recall whether it was a report that was to come back or not. Just to follow up on my earlier comments, I would have preferred, subsequent to those meetings, which most of us were not privy to have a follow-up in a report that captured all of that which occurred in that meeting, that which was discussed and suggested, and have staff provide their comments with respect to the building and its, I know it has constraints, I remember that from the initial report, and then have that come to Council. I don't see why it's an item that has to come at budget. Certainly it can, but I could see, and I'll ask the question, is this not something that could come to Council at any point? I just look at it from a process perspective. I would prefer to have something come back so I could have fulsome information from which to make and take a position and then go from there. I haven't heard anything about this since this last came to Council, and now it's before us at budget. So my question is this not something that could come back to Council at any time with a report for our consideration?
Mr. Galloway.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Mazzapelli. That is the intent, and that was the direction that was given in the last meeting. It was to hold the meeting by a certain date, which has been accomplished, and that staff would report back to Council.
Okay. Then that's
piece of the equation was never anticipated to happen in a few weeks following the meeting.
Okay. Yes. And then that, and again, I respect what is being suggested here. I also recognize the limitations on site, the ownership issues. So for myself, I don't care if it's $15,000 or $150,000. I would like to go through the proper process, have it come back for our full consideration, and that is why I can't support it as is. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Befford. All those in favour? All those opposed? Carries? Just going to propose a 5-minute recess, and then we will continue with Councillor Shaughnessy's amendments. All staff have put up the latest changes, and I believe that Councillor Shaughnessy still had a couple more amendments. or you can leave a gap. There are others. It's up to you. Can you turn your mic on, please? Thank you.
Carrie, the holiday assistance. That the 2018 budget be amended to add the unfunded change in service level number 31, holiday assistance for community groups in the amount of $100,000 from the tax levy funding to fund existing holiday lighting in village hamlets in the town as a service standard level. That the program be reviewed after a year, and as communities come online, that they be afforded the same holiday lighting service level. So this
Sorry,
was...
I just need a seconder.
I don't know. Whoever wants to.
Councillor Beffert?
Yeah. Okay, so this started with that we have a lot of community groups that have Christmas lighting, and I'll say Christmas lighting. Some people would say holiday lighting, whatever, whichever way makes you feel more comfortable. In our villages, and it's costing them. They're doing bazaars and they're doing fundraisers to pay for the lights that everybody appreciates. And then the other problem was that we talked about equitable. And Caledon East had the Christmas tree here that was funded by the town of Caledon, the lighting. But we have a lot of small communities that have that Christmas tree lighting, that holiday lighting. And I just think it's a service level that doesn't need a special line item, that is a service level. Because, heck, does the town of Caledon really want to be considered the Grinch for Christmas? And I think that we have to bite the bullet. And the fact is that I checked with Brampton to find out how they handle. And they looked at me and said, oh, my God, years ago we put that in as our service level. Like, it's not even a separate line item anymore. So I said to them, well, how do you handle it if there are other groups who aren't necessarily supportive of Christmas and holiday lights, but they might have a special, be from a special group that does some other sort of holiday type special from their either their religion or whatever. And he said, well, for that we have grants. They can apply for a grant, but it's the automatic service level. So when I was just talking to the mayor, I think it was yesterday, he said, well, we only have the one Christmas tree out at the front of the hall here, and it looks pretty meager. And I have to say, it looks meager. In Inglewood, we have the Christmas tree lighting, and everybody raises funds to try and look after the Christmas tree. In Alton, last year I bought them a Christmas tree, and they planted it, but they have to maintain it. And then you have Caledon Village that has that beautiful snowflakes that actually finally makes the village look more habitable. But they're doing fundraisers to pay for the snowflakes to go up and to pay for the snowflakes to come down. And they actually benefit everybody in the community. And then I think Palgrave and Mono have something similar. And Bolton has lighting down on the main corridor. And then I was thinking of Southfield, when it comes online with that large community center. I'm sure we're going to be having some trees planted there, and it would be nice to have some lights there to make it look a little friendlier. So for now, I looked at this and said, but I didn't want to, the way it was being proposed in your binder was to make it very complicated and red tape, and you had to apply for this and you had to apply for that, and somebody was going to process it and somebody was going to make the decision. Labor intensive, not needed, service level, put $100,000 in, and let's encourage people to shop in our communities by making it look like we actually care. So I thought, well, let's start off with what's existing and make sure that's covered off. And then as other villages come online or communities, and I'm anticipating that Mayfield West at some place will want something, that then it could be added. But I'm not expecting it to be a program where you apply, because that's just taking up valuable time. So let's bite the bullet. And and stop these people who are keep coming to our grant programs, begging for the money to look after the lights, and then one year they get it and another year they don't get it. Yet it benefits everybody. So I think it's about time for the service level to go up and for even the town hall to look better at our holiday time. So I'll leave it open to anybody else who might have some thoughts.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Just to give points of clarification, you had said that the Caledon East tree lighting is paid for by the town. So the tree is the town's, and the tree did pay for the lighting. They've always had that. They always had a tree there. It's always been decorated. However, the actual event is not paid for by the town. It is paid for by community donations and out of Councillor DeBoer and I's own pocket. So that's something that we do for the community. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. That
no, I said lighting.
Assume.
I'm not saying community event. I said
so to,
lighting.
To light the tree. Yes, but to actually, you know, the decorations, a lot of them are donated and the time is donated by Glen Echo Nurseries. The food is donated by Foodland. There's a lot that go into the actual event. So are you talking specifically about a tree that's lit with Christmas lights, or are you talking about a tree lighting event?
No, I think it's quite specific. It's talking about the lights was what we came forward for, not to, for the community to come and put on events. I'm just saying that, like, my Bell Fountain people, they don't have a Christmas tree lighting or a lighting event. They didn't come and apply. But I know which villages have existing ones. And I'm just saying, in order to be fair and equitable across, and let's just bump the service level up, that these people don't have to come back to our grant program every year or run fundraisers or penny raffles to try and raise the money when it's actually supporting all of Caledon, not just their little village or hamlet is what it's about.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. We just did, actually, we're in the process of doing the one in Bolton, and I know the BIA funds that, but again, the BIA, the folks who own properties in the BIA pay a special levy to belong to that, and that's the levy that they use to pay for it. I think that this is an important thing, and we have volunteers as well. Our volunteers go down and we decorate, and we get donations as well from some of the businesses in town. This is an important thing for every community. I think it's important that the town participates, because I've heard complaints and from folks in the community that other communities do this sort of stuff and they fund these things and they look beautiful, and that the town of Caledon needs to step up to the plate and do that. Now, having said that, we're looking to remove things from the budget, but if we keep adding stuff in the budget, I don't know, I think we're still going to be at 6.88%, and that's certainly something that I can't support, and it's something that I know that the residents have said they can't support. So I think that it's 200,000, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 200,000 you were looking annually to put into this unfunded amount. So 100,000 is still a lot. So, you know, I'm going to suggest that we start with something a smaller amount, and start to build on it. And maybe we have a fund, and we can create a fund, a community fund, where we have it specifically for this holiday type decorating or whatever it is. So $100,000 is a lot, because it means we'd have to put another $100,000 in next year. Am I correct?
Sorry, Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. That is correct. I just want to make one minor correction on the sheet. It shows that the $100,000 proposed for 2018 is for setup and takedown. That is actually for just setup, $100,000 for the first year. So if it gets approved by council in December of this year for the 2018 budget, we would actually go through the process of setting up the program and spend $100,000 to set up the lights in December of 2018. And then you're correct, Councillor Groves, that in 2019 it would be a $200,000 program, $100,000 in January of 2019 to take down the lights or the decorations, and another $100,000 in December of 2019 to set up the decorations again.
Okay, so I guess I'm just looking, because that's a lot. It is a lot. So I'm just looking for a suggestion that how we can start to slowly build it into the budget in assisting these communities. And we don't have to pay 100%, but again, we're talking, again, partnership. So if volunteers are in the community or the BIA, for example, in Bolton, instead of them footing the bill 100%, we can certainly help them and assist in some way to help them offset some of those costs. So, I don't know, 100,000 to me is a lot. Then again, now we're going to go to 200,000, and it's just going to keep growing and growing. So,
thank you, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I can't support it at this point. Certainly, I support the town helping out community groups put together, you know, Christmas celebrations. But based on what I've heard thus far, the suggestion was basically to strip down what was proposed by staff and not require it to go through that process and be something else. I don't know what that something else is, and yet I'm asked to vote on it here. So to do my due diligence and to fully understand what is being proposed, I don't have that information at this point. As has been suggested, this is a $200,000 program for the setup and the takedown. I would have hoped out of this exercise where we went into the community and asked for feedback that there would have been a subsequent report back to council where we would have said, this is what we heard, this is how we suggested the program could run. For myself, I don't see the town having to actually do the install in the takedown. Maybe we could assist groups that are motivated to do that, and that would actually dramatically reduce the cost and allow us either to spread the money more widely or not require as much money to begin with. That's the process I would have preferred to see, to have a very fulsome conversation. What I'm hearing right now is we're basically stripping down what staff have suggested, but just keep the money. And I don't know what that looks like, and I'm certainly not in the position to be able to support that without knowing concretely what that looks like. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I had the same thought here as Councillor Groves. Maybe we should be looking at a fund, but I think we need to send this back, let staff think about it a little bit more. It's in the unfunded list. There's two other ones that are here that are unfunded that I would have liked to have, and I think we've continuously asked for grant funding for the Community Green Fund and the Municipal Agriculture Community Grants to be increased, and both of them sit here too in this area of the unfunded increased service levels. So, you know, I think it's good to have the discussion here today, but it definitely needs to go back to staff, and maybe we can do that sort of program. I know that we do the one here in Caledon East. I know what it takes, and I think a lot of the groups that run them in their communities, if they could get an extra $1,000 to take off some of the heat, I think that's kind of a program that would work and would help start and help assist the villages in doing the Christmas decorating. But that would be something that we need to have a discussion, not here at this point in time, but more of a discussion during a regular council where we can kind of come up with a program and something that we can deliver and then look at it in the future. So I won't be supporting this motion.
Mayor Thompson.
I definitely support the intent. And I think 100,000 is a little steep to start off with, and I think with my previous ones. But here's where I see it is. It's got to be with procurement and legal and everything. You can't put up stuff on town lamps anymore. It has to be done by a contractor. And I'll use the prime example. It's the snowflakes in Caledon Village. And if you drive through Caledon Village right now at night, it's beautiful. But it's those things that I think we need to invest. And that's where I was saying a town hall. It'd be really nice if we could do even the front of the town hall, light up the trees. But there's a cost that comes to that, and it's the level of service. Brampton does it, and so does Mississauga. They have the lights erected for Diwali, or most of it is, at that point in time. They shut them off after that till Remembrance Day is over. They turn it on for Christmas and again around the Chinese New Year. The challenge is respecting and of the light event that celebrates everyone, but it's also about community.
And at one point, a lot of communities did it, and you had community volunteers, and you can't do that. Procurement's basically shut that down. So it, now with Brampton and Mississauga and other areas, it's a level of service, Markham as well. And I guess the question is, going forward is, I would like to think, what would that cost be for a level of service that we do that on town hall facilities or on the corridor of Highway 10 where Caledon Village is and other areas? And I mean, I think Councillor Shaughnessy's right. You kind of grow it in. As Councillor Groves did say, you know, like the cost of, you know, the initial cost of $100,000, wow. I think it was within about $5,000 to take the stars up and down, or the snowflakes up and down in Caledon Village. So I think we're way high here. But I think this is something that I think council needs to discuss, is what level of service do we want, and for community improvement like Caledon East. And I know the BIAs, there's only one BIA, and that's Bolton, but we have a lot of communities and villages that I think could really benefit from it. But my question is I really like to think this out and do some research to make sure we've got something. Now, what would that cost? You know, it'll come under the public works, but they're the experts to do this, and what that level of cost would be. And if I'm wrong, and our staff can say, no, they've researched it, and it's going to be about $100,000, that's fine. I guess the question is how do we come up with $100,000?
Do you have a question? Is that a question?
Yep. Sorry. Yeah, that's a question. Sorry.
Mr. Long.
Chairness, thank you. So the $100,000, based on council direction to investigate this program, we over the summer had a survey where we actually opened it up to the public and asked the public several questions as to if we had this program, whether they would be interested.
I remember that now.
And if they were interested, whether they needed to connect their decorations to whether their decorations needed electricity and so on, because each of those have a different cost. And based on the results of the survey, it's actually identified in the notes there. Based on the results of the survey, we identified that the cost would be $100,000. Part of the challenge we have is we want it to be inclusive, so we want it to be inclusive, but we also didn't want the program to be taken advantage of. So we identified recognized groups and we defined it as meeting a certain minimum criteria that's actually in here. And that allowed for existing groups to be included and new groups as they got added on to also be included if they met the criteria. So based on the results of the survey, we identified a cost of people that were interested or groups that were interested of $100,000. We added another $100,000 for other groups that may not have participated in the survey, because we certainly heard that because the survey occurred in the summer, people were away, and not all groups within Caledon actually, or not all groups participated in the survey. So we allowed for growth and also for those groups that did not participate in the survey.
Okay. Did we find out what it cost, like Brampton or Mississauga, what it cost them to do that level of service? And I know it's much bigger, but just ballpark, just to put it in percentages.
Yeah, through Chair Ennis, we did not.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Beffert.
Well, I'm not going to prolong the discussion a lot, but I think what we need to do is what the mayor said, and that is at least have these discussions ongoing, because we need some help. The expectation is there from our people at Christmas time, for example, because of the good work that the residents have done, that we'll have this every Christmas. We'll have the snowflakes, we'll have the tree. But now, the way procurement is, it's really tough for us to put them up. We've got, trying to put a truck up on Highway 10, we need the support of MTO, we need the support of the town. All of those things have to be worked in. I don't even know, for example, whether the town has a ladder truck that we could use to do some of this work, because they would have the proper facilities to put out the markers and stop traffic and all of that, same as we do with snow plowing. Those are the kinds of things that we need help with. We needed help having a contractor that was approved by the town of Caledon. That took a little bit to get. And then once it was approved, the Caledon Village Association paid for it to happen. But those are the kinds of things that we've got to work together on, because, you know, I see it in Caledon East, I see it in Bolton, you know, this is what people have an expectation at Christmas time, and I hope we don't lose that.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Well, staff, they did put a wholesome discussion in the budget binder, actually 3 or 4 pages. I just happened to disagree with how they wanted to do it. I disagreed because it was labor intensive. It was gonna, people would have to apply, then we'd have all these staff members going through who applied, how much did they apply to another one, and it was complicating it. So me, I just said, why don't we just do the common sense thing and do it really simple and easy and say this is a level of service. This isn't on people's homes. This isn't on people's personal property. These are trees and lighting on town-owned land. So it should be a town responsibility. So when I said where the 100,000 came from, well, there's a couple things that are key in this. I said 100,000 because actually staff, that's what they said it would cost this year. I also said existing. So let's just look at what's existing in our community and deal with only that. And then I said, but that would be like ending it only what's existing and eliminating and not being fair to the new communities that came on. So such as Southfield. When that comes on, I'm sure they would love a couple of beautiful Christmas trees decorated or pine trees or whatever they are. I think they would love that. It makes everybody feel really good. If you remember, think of December. It's the highest suicide month. People get depressed. And I have to say music and lights make you feel good. So I was trying to cover off everybody. I wasn't trying to say only just here. I was saying that we need to look at it as a service standard. Not a line item each year that we debate on. It's whether we would like to have our community centers that have existing trees or our village squares on town-owned land looked after. Caledon Village actually got their lights put up and taken down much cheaper than what we did. But the trouble is, the big Christmas tree that was planted there so long ago when the lights were put on it, the wires are growing into the tree. And they're rubbing up against it, so the lights need to eventually, probably in the next year or two, come off the tree. And that will take a tall, what do you call it, Alan? One of those.
Lift trucks
to make that happen. That shouldn't be a community. So this is just about, do we want our community looking nice at Christmas time and holiday time, or whether we don't? And I think we do. I think it's important to how people feel about their community. And I think it's a step in the right direction. I understand the tax implication, but there are still other things hopefully are going to come out. But I think this is something that all of Caledon can benefit from. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes, I agree with Councillor Shaughnessy that it's definitely something that all of Caledon would benefit from in terms of a service level. However, I'm wondering about how each community group goes about determining what its needs actually are. So, for example, in terms of differing service level from grant applications, I know in Southfield Village, our community group would prefer to receive grant funding so that they can incorporate themselves appropriately so that they can actually then go out and do these types of things like tree lightings and decor around the neighborhood and things like that, which they have not been able to do at this point because it's difficult for them as a group to receive the proper insurance that lets them host events and that type of thing. So I would almost leave it to those community groups to determine what their needs are, as opposed to having a blanket over it in its entirety.
Thank you. I have so much that I'd like to say, but every time I do, it inspires others to speak. So I'm going to try to be really brief. I understand the intent behind it. I think we all want to have villages within our wards and within the entire municipality that we're proud of. and that we feel a sense of community within. I know that that's one of the reasons why Councillor DeBoer and I started the Christmas tree lighting in Caledon East, because other villages that we represent have them and Caledon East did not, and it was being the second largest, now it's the third in the municipality, we felt that it was a void. But I think that it goes beyond just Christmas. I think that this is a town-wide, all-year-long need. And so I think that we need to take a more fulsome look at it. I know that lots of the villages are looking at doing the banners and the lighting and the flowers, you know, providing the services that the BIA provide in Bolton or that CERC provide in Caledon East. And I know that the smaller hamlets and villages are looking for the same thing. And I don't, as much as I understand why they want it and agree that we should have it, because it gives us a sense of pride in our community. I think that we need to look at a fulsome picture. It's not just the holidays. I think it's full round, year round. And I think that this is something that we should be talking about and coming back in keeping with what Councillor Groves has said. We do need to look at the budget implications, and we keep adding and adding. And I know I, for one, do not want to be over the 3% mark, so I can't support it at this time. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Beffert. All those in favor? All those opposed? On this side, all those opposed? Motion fails. Councillor Shaughnessy, do you have another?
I'm going to keep mine for the 12th, when maybe the spirit of Christmas comes before us, so I'll hold
You're
off
done?
For a while.
Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I have a...
Oh, sorry. Before you continue, can we have the current... Thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Actually, one I haven't prepared a motion for, and the clerk can jump in if this is out of step, but something I just wanted to get information on, and I may, on the fly, create a motion, was with respect to, in the operational budget, there is a 10,000 contracted item for the Alton Cemetery for grass cutting. My question is as we do have staff and we do have other cemeteries that we own responsibility for, would it be conceivable for us to undertake that work in-house? The reason and where I'm getting at with this, and Councillor DeBoer touched on it, what I'm looking to do is take that 10,000 and split it 5,000 each to two of the unfunded operational items for the municipal grant program and the green school program. Staff have recommended that there's far more asked than we have funds. It goes townwide, and I thought that would be a good way to take that money and distribute it across the town. So the question I have is, could we do that service in-house?
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair Innes, to Council Ms. Appelli. So we're at capacity now, so we actually have to contract out for the work on the cemeteries. For the Alton Cemetery, we contract that out because we don't have the capacity internally to do it. So we have to contract it out. That's what the 10,000 is for.
Right. And I'm not going to make a big deal about this, and I may consult with staff between now and the final meeting. But we don't distinguish between grass cutting on public boulevards and parks from a staff perspective as opposed to cemeteries. Like the other cemeteries that we take care of and clear or cut the grass, that would be our park staff that do that, or is it all contracted out?
Ms. Tollett. Mr. Baird.
Councillor Mezzapelli, the park staff, it is in their service level to maintain the Pioneer Cemeteries, which have a service level of cutting once per month. Last year, Council decided to take on the Alton Cemetery and to the service level it was at, which was once every 2 weeks, and we don't have the capacity to do that.
Okay. I'll let that sit for now. I appreciate the response.
You're welcome.
So one I have, Chair Innes, and I'm looking for a seconder, is that the scope of the unfunded capital project 18-149, mural wall at Bolton Fire Station, be incorporated into the existing capital project 14-008, replacement of Bolton Fire Station, as there is sufficient budget remaining in the 2014 capital project.
Sorry, can I have a seconder? Councillor DeBoer?
The reason for this is I see that wall as a part of the overall project. Knowing what I've encountered in the past over tagging issues, particularly in Bolton, it will be the target of tagging. If you look at the pink sheet on this, it is intended to treat it with an anti-graffiti treatment. It is intended to utilize our local high schools and their arts students. So it's a community engagement piece. So I see it as an opportunity to beautify, deter graffiti, and if we do get any, allow it to be removed easily while engaging our community. So there's not a financial cost associated with this. It's just asking for it to be incorporated into the larger capital project.
Ms. Tollett?
Through you, Chair Annis. So we did an analysis of the budget remaining, and we do have capacity to incorporate that $30,000 for the mural into the existing budget.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried.
Thank you, Chair Annis. One other one, and again, looking for a seconder. That the outdoor upgrades of the Callan Center for Recreation and Wellness, CCRW, as outlined in unfunded capital project 18-118, be considered in future budgets for the Bolton Senior Center expansion capital project.
Need a seconder?
I do.
Councillor Groves?
The justification for, now this isn't asking it to be done as a part of this the 2018 budget. All I've asked for here, if you look at an aerial view of the CCRW and where the senior center sits in relation to it, there is a large garden immediately adjacent to the senior center, which is enjoyed by seniors who utilize that facility and the CCRW more broadly. All I have asked for here is as we go forward on the Rotary Place expansion project, is that that outdoor amenity be considered as a part of it, because it is part of the amenity that the seniors utilize. So I leave it open for discussion.
Seeing no speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried.
That is for me. Thank you.
Two amendments with no budget impact. Well done, Councillor Mezzapelli. Mayor Thompson.
Yes, I have one that I'd like to bring forward. It's number 24. And I want to speak in supporting for the seniors coordinator full-time as a full-time position is part-time. I know the seniors are struggling because there's
Sorry,
just so much just, to get done.
Before you start, I just need a seconder.
Councillor DeBoer.
Councillor DeBoer. And it's that the 2018 budget be amended to add the unfunded change in service level number 24, conversion of administrator adult 55 plus in the amount of $35,903 from the tax levy funding.
That's correct.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mayor Thompson.
So our current seniors coordinator works 3 days a week, and she's working till all hours to try to get as much time in as she can. And our seniors are wanting a greater representation, and I just know that there's just a lot of provincial funding, the federal funding coming down the pipeline, and our staff just haven't got time, and that's really the role that this person's doing, and it just needs to be a full-time position because of what's required, and we just can't get everything done. So this is what I'm asking for, is to move this to a full-time position. It has been part-time. We know it's heavily utilized, and there's a huge, much more uptake that can be capitalized on this.
Councillor Groves. Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. And of course, everybody loves the seniors and everybody wants to please the seniors. But I hadn't heard that that the 3 days wasn't sufficient. So I see Katie all the time, and never did anybody say anything to me. So at this point, I'm going to say I need to see something that said that they actually needed to be here full time, because I'm not adding a and everybody knows how much I support the seniors, but I'm not going to do it just for that reason. I want to see hear somebody say that she says she needs to be here full time. I mean, I haven't heard that yet.
Thank you. It is in the unfunded pick sheets as the need that is required, just to bring that to your attention. Sorry, Councilor Mazzucato.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. Well, I, with all due respect, I don't think we would ever expect any staff person to suggest that they should move from part-time to full-time.
No.
But I will ask that of staff. I do see it as priority two. So, and one of the reasons I supported the Palgrave project was that it was priority one on a pink sheet. So I'm wondering if I can ask the question of staff, because I debated this too. I sit on the seniors task force, and I know the great work that Katie does, and she works hard. You know when she is at work, because you get a plethora of emails from her letting you know she's at work doing good work. The need for moving this from part-time to full-time, and if this motion is to fail, is this something staff feel, because it is priority two, would likely in future budgets likely or potentially be a funded operational request?
Ms. Tullett?
Through you, Chair Ennis, to Council Mazzucato. So staff have put it in the unfunded because we didn't feel it's a priority at this point. It's been only 1 year she's been working on the project. So, of course, everybody wants more time, full time. However, at this point, we didn't see it was necessary, so we've put it in the unfunded list at this point. If council chooses to have the position full time, they can.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. Just additionally to the general manager, it goes back to the original discussion about the volume of requests for additional staff, and we had to draw the line somewhere. So I can tell you unequivocally that the majority of the asks are very valid mm-hmm. in its justification, but we didn't want to bring a service level to you with a staffing complement that is well above what your expectation may have been, so we've kept it at that level. It is a number two priority, so we have prioritized them as senior management to give you some options if you so decided to add some of the unfunded. We didn't just leave it open and not give you any justification or categorization of the need. So in this one, as I believe maybe the mayor said or one of the other speakers, is this was the second priority of the department of the unfunded.
Right. Okay. Thank you for the feedback.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Councillor Groves, now's your time.
Thank you. And I'm not sure if you have this in front of you, but this is for, with respect to 18-102, it's the boiler replacements.
That the 2018 budget be amended to remove the funded capital project 18-102, Caledon Center for Recreation and Wellness, CCRW, boiler replacement funded in the amount of $300,000 from the tax levy funding.
Right.
Can I have a seconder? Councillor Shaughnessy? Go ahead.
Thank you. So the reason I brought this forward, this is a lot of money. It's $300,000 that we're looking at. And when I looked at what we were saving annually, it's $7,500 replacing this to higher efficiency and that. So when I look at $7,500 every year that we're saving, that's a huge amount to spend just to save $7,500. It'll take us a long time before we can recoup the cost for those boilers. I also didn't see anything in the budget document that said that there were any issues with the boilers. I only read in there about the high efficiency boiler replacement. So I just think that it's a lot of money. And the return that we're getting, the savings, it's $7,500 a year. It'll take us a long time to recover the cost. So
I think it's something that we could wait and do it later on because there isn't an urgent need. And I didn't see anything that spoke to an urgent need to replace those boilers, that the boilers are not working, or it's just a matter of replacing them with high efficiency.
Thank you. Mr. Wong, I'm going to ask, or Ms. Tollett, so I'm going to ask, because I think that we've spoken about this one in the past, and it was my understanding that it was at its life expectancy and that we were replacing it. Could you clarify?
So through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Groves, it is recommended. Every year it gets inspected. So these are for two boilers. It runs the whole facility. It's recommended to be replaced because we're having issues getting parts. We're getting issues with repairs. So the bills are starting to get costly. The actual replacement of the boilers to a condenser is around $200,000. To make it more high efficient is the other $100,000. The $100,000 buyback is about $7,500 to $10,000 roughly per year in savings. We've put it on the low end of saying $7,500. That's for the high efficiency point of it. But realistically, it's a large project. Infrastructure projects that are recommended for life cycle replacement are the ones I usually put as high priority for replacement, and that's why it was put in here. But again, it's at it's like the borderline within their life expectancy. It should be kind of replaced at this point because we're starting to see problems, having issues getting parts because they're at that time where you can't seem to find parts with that kind of model, let's say.
Okay, thank you. Would you say we have a couple of years left on it or more than 2 years left?
Mr. Chair, to Councilor Groves, I can say. So it's being recommended to replace it. So it's the risk you take. So you could say no, and then something can happen next year, and I'll be seeing you next year. Or you could replace it and have no issues. So I can't say. At this point, it's being recommended because the last every year it gets inspected, and it's been recommended for the last little while that we should replace it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Councilor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Yes, we did talk about this before. I found out some information, and that the life expectancy is 20 years, and it's 15 to 16 years. So we're chopping something off at 75% of its life. I did ask to see the bills and stuff, and I have not been provided the costs and the repairs because I did actually want to take a look at that. What I also will say is something that I learned at the sustainability conference, something called greenwashing. And greenwashing is we do things that we think is green and that it makes us feel better. But when you only use something to 75% of its expectancy, then you're now building something else to replace something, and the cost and the emissions of building something new to replace something that isn't out of date yet, and I'm going to say it isn't out of date, is a waste of money, and we haven't put that green factor into that. The other thing is that, so they were to go to 20 years. I was told, you know, in one of the emails got back, it was 20-year life expectancy on it, and it's still got 4 or 5. But the other aspect of it was that, and Councillor Groves is correct, is that we were saying, well, let's go to a high efficiency. And I think I said this before, when I did my high efficient, when I priced out what my furnace was going to cost me at a mid efficiency and what it was going to cost me at a high efficiency, the payback was its life expectancy. So we're spending $100,000 more of the taxpayers' money to only get back what we get back in return. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to invest $100,000, you better get a bigger payback. And with the report that came to me, it said $7,500. So I have to go with what was given to me as the payback on that. So that doesn't make sense to do the extra $100,000. And I think I would really like to see, and I'm pretty sure I sent that email, not sure to who, I'll have to go back and look, that I was looking for the report on it, on what were the actual issues and what had actually we spent on that particular item. So at this point, I can't support having it in the budget maybe by next Tuesday or the 12th, somebody's going to provide me information that shows me that it's cost us a pile of money, fine. But at this point, I don't think it's cost us a pile of money. So I'd really like to see the report on it. Anyways, I'll shush. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask Ms. McFadden if she'd like to come up and just answer with regards to the question with the life savings cost. Or...
Yeah, well, I think the suggestion has been made that further information could come forward next week. I don't think Ms. McFadden was prepared to answer the question, probably because the question wasn't anticipated. But I would say that just looking at some of the description sheet that you've been provided, if the life expectancy of the boiler is 20 years, and high efficiency, the annual audit savings that our individuals did to look at $7,500 annually, over the life cycle, it'd be $150,000 saving for a $300,000 unit. So I'll just leave that with you for your deliberations.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. And I need to repeat a question that was asked because I think it's important on this item. So. Staff are not suggesting this capital project just to take advantage of energy savings. And it doesn't matter what the life expectancy of an item is. I know what the life expectancy of my roof was. It didn't meet it. That's a ballpark figure, but what actually happens in real life is usually something less. So the question is the boiler at the CCRW at the end of its useful life?
Ms. Tollett.
So through your chair, Ennis, it's being recommended that it should be replaced. It is estimated between 15 to 20 years, but again, we're having issues with it at this point, so it's being recommended to be replaced. So that's why we've put it on the sheet to replace it. It's not just for energy efficiencies. You always look at that when you're replacing a large item that's going to run the whole facility. So that's why we've looked at condensed boilers that will be more efficiency, and that's why it's a little bit higher cost. But that's not the only purpose for this project. It's because it's recommended the life expectancy to replace it, or I wouldn't put it in there.
Right, and I appreciate that. I guess the second comment I have is, and as someone who finds himself as being environmentally conscious, if the only reason people do things is for the financial payback, that's not an environmental decision. Certainly, it's part of it, and money's extremely important, but when I look at the $7,500 savings annually on energy costs, I look at the environmental footprint of saving $7,500 in energy annually, and that has an environmental benefit. This town prides itself in being an environmental leader. That is an example of it. And so when I look at the high efficiency unit, I don't just look at the $7,500. I look at the effects to the environment globally that having a more efficient unit will provide, and look at that benefit, because that is real as well. And I would think we would be folly to overlook that. Thank you.
Councillor Groves.
I think we're all looking at how we can save our planet. Certainly the region is looking at it, and every region and every municipality in Ontario is looking at it. So I have no issues with that environmental piece and the savings there and saving our planet. I just think that I'm just looking for ways to bring this budget down. I'm hearing from residents, we cannot afford this tax increase, and I'm looking for ways, and if there are ways and opportunities to do that, that's what I'm looking for. I heard what Ms. Tollett said, that it is being recommended. I mean, we've been having these discussions about the boilers for a long time. My question is it possible to replace one? And if you replace one now, you could probably save some money there also in energy costs. I don't know. I'm just trying to look for some suggestions.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes, Miss, the general manager is going to get an answer to that question, but Ms. McFadden, I believe, has the information. We don't have to wait till next week. She's so expeditious and expedient in her energy consumption in her brain that she's going to be able to come forward right now and give us that answer.
Ms. McFadden.
Yes.
through you, Chair Innes, just to highlight some of the additional environmental benefits of this boiler retrofit that there isn't always a business case for, but as we are planning to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, there isn't always a positive business case. The energy audit has identified that retrofitting to a condensing boiler would result in 104.8, so almost 105 tons of avoided greenhouse gas emissions annually. In addition, it would save annually 50,000, just over 50,000 cubic meters of natural gas.
Well, I understand the high efficiency. That's why I installed a high efficiency furnace in my home, because I recognize those benefits of high efficiency and the contribution in reducing the GHGs. So thank you for that. But again, I'm just looking for ways to reduce this budget. And if we can go for a couple more years with the boilers that we currently have, then...
Ms. Tullett? I think you had asked the question about replacing one. Versus...
So through you, Chair Innes, so it would be difficult to replace just one, because when you're going into that kind of, it's not a small project, you would want to do them both at the same time. I think you would gain actually efficiencies in doing them together as opposed to doing one and then one later, because they were all done at the same time and they operate your whole facility there.
Right. So my other question is, let's just say we took it out of this budget and it crashes before the other budget, before we approve the next budget cycle. Do we have an opportunity to find funds somewhere in our slush fund or reserve fund to do that?
Ms. Tullett?
Through you, Chair Innes, so no slush fund, but you would go to the tax-funded reserve. You would actually have to go into a contingency reserve to fund it. I would have to bring a report to council saying it's an emergency repair, and this is how much it is. But then... you got to remember, if we're doing this, we can plan for it properly. We can make sure it doesn't affect the running of the facility, because it runs your whole facility, the pool, everything in that area. So if it's an emergency, then it's that part that we would have to deal with. So it's a chance you take.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, I would like to put a motion forward, please, regarding Alton. Should I read it?
Yep.
That the 2018 budget be amended to add the unfunded capital project 18-027 Alton Library and Recreation Center exterior LED lighting in the amount of $8,000 from the tax levy funding. Looking for a seconder.
Need a seconder. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I am proposing this because we have created a focus point for people to attend in Alton, and that includes the new school, it includes the community center, it includes the library, it includes the old school, whatever happens to it, it includes the ball diamond and also parking areas. And it's necessary to have more visibility and more lighting, and the LED will be more efficient and will allow us to have a greater spread of light for folks who are using it on a regular basis. The school is being used by community groups as well, and they park down near the recreation center. And so overall, it's $8,000 well spent.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Councillor Beffert and I spoke very briefly about this, and so I just wanted to get some clarification. So this lighting, as I understood it, and Mr. Beffert, Councillor Beffert can clarify for me, is at least in part to serve the track that is proposed in this budget. Is that correct?
That's correct. It'll be in the same general vicinity, and I mean, I don't know at this point what the evening, you know, parts of it will be, but certainly people will be bringing their carriages and their kids, because there's the track closest to the lighting will be for community groups to. It won't be the BMX bikers. They'll be out further.
All right. And so just putting this out there, similarly to my motion, which included the retaining wall in the Bolton Fire Station capital project, a larger project, is this something, and I apologize to staff because this is going to cause you to have to think on the fly, but is this something that could be included in the capital project for the track as a component of it? I'm not looking to squeeze it where to the point where it can't get completed, but if there's room, and this is certainly ancillary and a part of it, I could see that as being a logical fit. And if there's room, then there doesn't even have to be a tax levy impact.
Sorry, Ms. Tuller.
Through Chair Ennis to Council Mazzapelli. So the Alton, the park, the community park, is funded by DCs and tax. So this is really related to the facility, outside the facility, so, and it's not part of growth, so I don't think you can use the DC-funded portion on the other project.
But, okay, and I'm not going to beleaguer this to death. The component that is tax-funded, is it conceivable that there could be room in that portion to cover this as a part of that broader project?
Ms. Hare?
Through the chair to Councillor Mazzapelli, you have to fund those projects proportionately. So only if the project came in under budget could you use that tax portion to fund this additional cost. Otherwise, the project has to be funded in proportion, so you can't take the tax funding and spend it on something else and spend the DCs on the Alton Park.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, moved by Councillor Bradford, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. All those in favor? Sorry, I didn't see the side. Motion carries. Can we see the change, please? Are there any other speakers? Before I conclude, there has been some discussion that there may be some changes coming forward. I would ask, out of respect for the residents that are here to hear it today, as well as the other council members, so that we have a full time to digest between now and then. If you do have any further amendments with you today, I'd encourage you to please present them today so that we can have a fulsome discussion, as next week is meant to be ratification and any changes as deemed necessary, but today is the day to have a discussion. So if you do have any further amendments, I would ask that you please bring them forward now. Mayor Thompson.
I just have one on the fees, so we'll be doing that independently.
That's next, yeah. Councillor DeBoer.
We talked about it and touched on it really quickly, and I think that $5,000 on the two community grants, and just wondered whether we should have some discussion around that, and I would propose a motion that those two items be moved to the funding. And I'd have to take a few minutes to find it in the book here to actually give you the numbers, but that would be my motion for... I will look for it too.
You want to take a break? I'm just going to call a 5-minute break. We left off with Councillor DeBoer.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. The day was going well, so I thought we could bring this one up. I think it's been a discussion around this table for quite some time. And I'd like to add this motion that the 2018 budget be amended to add unfunded change in service level number 17 increase to the Community Green Fund program to the amount of $5,000 from the tax-funded levy, and the 2018 budget be amended to add unfunded change in service level number 16 increase to the Municipal Agricultural and Community Grants program to the amount of $5,000 for the tax levy.
Sorry, I just need a seconder.
Rob.
Mayor Thompson. Sorry, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Every time we go through the grants, the municipal grants, and they're part of the report here today, there's always a bigger ask than we can meet. They're all very, very needy, or very good organizations that are all on there, and staff do a good job of vetting them. The Green Fund, like too, is undersubscribed, and I think it's working towards a lot of successes, especially through the schools, and to continue to look at funding and adding programs. And that's why we brought it forward, or would like to bring it forward for consideration to increase those levels of funds for those two funds, those two grant programs.
Thank you. Councillor Groves, did you have questions for this, or is... No. Mayor Thompson? No. Okay, seeing other speakers, I'll just add mine. I understand that there is always way more of an ask than what we have. But I think that moving into this budget, we've gotten it down below 3, which I'm happy with, but we keep adding. And at some point, we have to draw the line. And so I can't support it at this point in time. I know that, you know, the asks keep coming, and we saw it with the charity golf tournament, and those asks far exceed what we have available to provide. But I think that we need to maybe look at the overall funding and the overall program, and that might be something that the new term of council could undertake. But I think at this point in time, we have to be consistent, and I would really like the budget to stay under 3. So I will not be supporting it at this point in time. See, look, I speak, and then... Others want to as well. Councillor Beffert.
Well, I think slowly, so. I concur with your comments, and I would add that over the last 5 to 10 years, we have added quite a bit to the combination of grants, particularly from the Golf Fund and from other areas as well. And as much as I'd like to see this, I think you're right. We got it down below 3. We're sitting at a pretty good spot right now, in my estimation. I don't know about others. And I would like to, I'd like to see this, but I just don't know how much you can keep doing. We've generated a lot of interest in our grants, and we just can't possibly help everybody.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. I do support this. And I think it's important to note that while, you know, a 3% target increase is, you know, a good round number. I personally am not stuck to that absolute amount. Here I see a value which will go back into the community far beyond, you know, and I don't even know what 10,000 will amount to. It'll be a fraction of a percent. And I see that creates more value in the community, broadly across our entire community, than a fraction of a tax impact. So, and again, this is something that goes townwide. And to Councillor Beffert's point about the, and we have redirected a good chunk from the golf tournament to the grant fund. Even with that, we are falling far short of the asks. And these are great community groups and organizations that do great things beyond or within our community for a very small ask. So this amount, I imagine, could probably fund 2, 3, 4 additional items. So I will be supporting this. Thanks.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I understand all the asks myself. I get it. But the fact is, Town of Caledon needs to assume some of the responsibility and some of the weight of the costs. I mean, it takes a lot of time and energy just managing these grant programs. And here we just saw today that you want to put 10 in, which would have been a nice number towards actually providing for the communities from a lighting, from a service level. We're administration heavy in a lot of these projects we do, and somehow we have to figure out how to do it easier, faster, and more timely. And I just think some of the service levels need to go up, and then you wouldn't have people having to come to the Town of Caledon to put their application in to take the snowflakes up, take the snowflakes down, and you know what? So, no, I won't be supporting it just because I think we need to change our service level. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that too, if this fails, that coming back, it would be a great idea just to review the types of grants and things that we've been getting, and because there's other ways of supporting these local groups and local initiatives other than through financial means, whether it's actually doing some of the work, or the picnic tables and in lieu, and I know we do that with some of our other organizations. There's other means to help some of these community groups that isn't a financial contribution through our staffing. So should it fail, I would ask that we could look at that coming back. And as a councillor, I'm more than happy to make that request through a formal motion at some point. Every time I speak, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. And very quickly, do staff have the impact on this ask? I'm wondering if we could put that up. So I just make the note that we are still, I'm not belittling it, every increase is an increase, but we are still under the three. Just make the note. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Even the in-kind fits in as part of the $100,000. So the $5,000 would or could be in-kind as well as actually direct contributions because it works out to the full $100,000 in the full fund. So, you know, when you look at some of the groups that are here that didn't get anything, I look at Dorado Swim Club, I look at the MS Society, you look at the Peel Federation of Agriculture, both Rotary clubs that aren't in here. Even the in-kind with the Palgrave Rotary and the Terry Fox Run isn't covered off in this one, just as a few. The hospice, youth support, not knowing specifics, and staff do a good job of vetting it, and I don't think that we should be thinking that there's an easy process, because there is no easy process in looking through $390,000 worth of acts and whittling it down to $100,000. We get far more bang for our buck as far as community volunteers and supporting them with a bit of money and in-kind donations or in-kind support than we ever could if we were doing it ourselves. And many of these organizations take pride in the work that they do and just want to have a little bit of financial support or support in-kind. So the ask for $5,000 I don't think is totally unreasonable as far as trying to continue to add to what the volunteers are already doing. All we're doing is, as a town, is participating and supporting volunteers in the work that they do, knowing full well that the town could never provide the services that the volunteers in this community do, have in the past, and will continue to do. So that's why I think the ask is there, and Councillor Mazzapelli is right to point out that we still are well below the overall increase in three, which was where the decreases that we initially started with where we wanted to be from. So thank you.
Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Are there any other questions, comments, amendments? Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I did have some questions raised by someone from the audience. Now, she's not here any longer, but I am going to raise them just for the record so that staff can provide some answers. They are things that I support, but just so that her concerns can be brought forward. So one of them would be 18-088, and that's the Edelweiss Park goals, fencing, and Caledon Soccer Complex goal replacements. That's $70,000. So maybe I can ask somebody to just provide some feedback on that.
Giving Ms. Tollett the opportunity to find it in her binder.
Sorry.
See, we
Sorry.
Need to move. This should be all electronic, by the way.
So, through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Groves. So, this is to provide for two parks, one in Caledon East, and I guess it's in there. It's for the replacement of the soccer nets and replacement there to meet the standard of the Ontario Association for soccer. So, it actually is the fencing and the goal nets on those two parks.
Right. Thank
and
you.
And it's life cycle as well. It's also a life cycle. So in the time they have to also replace it, they're meeting the standard.
Perfect. Thank you. The other is, and on that same page, Ms. Tollett, 18-090. It's the Caledon East Soccer Complex Improvements. It is $25,000.
Oh, Ms. Tollett?
Sorry, Chair Annis, I just have to go back to the project sheet. So these are two junior soccer fields that we're making them into the actual regulation size for the Ontario Soccer Association, and that would be in Caledon East here.
Perfect. The other is 18-092. It's $35,000, and it's a number of things to roof replacement and the remaining half of a roof on Caledon East Soccer Complex.
Again, through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Groves. This is a life cycle replacement. This is the roof in the Palgrave Ball Picnic Shelter. It is recommended through the Town of Caledon's roof audits that they did in 2015. And then the Caledon East Soccer Complex, they did part of it, so it's the balance of the roof replacement there.
Perfect. Thank you. And, of course, I can explain that one, and I did speak to her about it. It's 18-142, and it's the partnership with Humberview School with the turf and track and that. And I did explain to her it's $171,000 on our tax levy. It's a $2 million project. So, I mean, it's a great example of partnership. So thank you. I don't know who she is, but I think Councillor Innes, she is your constituents, and Councillor DeBoer. So maybe if Ms. Tollett can provide some of those things in writing and you can bring that forward to her. She's with the Caledon Soccer
Club. Yes, we've already spoken.
Okay.
Thank you.
So just so that she has those answers in writing and that she's satisfied with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, comments, are there any more amendments? I would ask if you have any more amendments to bring them forward so we can have a fulsome discussion today instead of having it at Regional Council. Or sorry, at Town Council. It's been a long day. Oh, Councillor Shaughnessy.
I was just going to say, I know you really want to have them all today, but quite frankly, I'm going to go back and review the budget again because a couple of the residents are still saying our budget's too high, so even though you'd like to have all that today, I'm going to go through the budget one more time and bring whatever I need forward at that time.
Seeing none others. So the original is moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure. I'm not going to read the whole motion, but as amended. All those in favor? All those in favor? I need hands. All those opposed? Motion carries. Move to staff report 2016-149, 2018 fees bylaw. That the bylaw 2016-102 be repealed and replaced with a bylaw establishing fees as set out in Schedule A to staff report 2017-149 in accordance with the Municipal Act 2001 to take effect January 1st, 2018, and that the tax subsidy for recreation of 46% approved by Council in 2016 be increased to 47%. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, and this item was held by Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, okay. I'm sure other people have some concerns. I have a motion that I'm bringing forward. I'm happy to read it, or you're going to put it on the screen, Madam Clerk?
Go ahead and read, please.
That the fees bylaw be amended regarding the fee for fill heavy truckload Caledon road use per load per lane kilometer be calculated on a one-way only, i.e. one-way travel to the fill location, not when the trucks are empty. So,
sorry, I just need a seconder for that.
Councillor Groves?
Councillor Groves?
Or Allen? Whoever?
That's okay. I've already said Councillor Groves. Go ahead, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So, a lot of discussion, a lot of back and forth, and a lot of review. And I guess finally this morning I did some more legwork on this and spoke to some people in the trucking industry. And trying to understand heavy trucks and usage. And what they said to me was, they said, Barb, your fuel trucks are as heavy as those fill trucks. Your feed trucks are as heavy as those trucks. And your milk trucks are as heavy as the fill trucks. And then they said, and then add in the buses. Buses way heavier than all those put together because of how the wheel distribution is and the load distribution. So when I found that information out, I was like, okay, this is really cost prohibitive and from an agricultural perspective. We also had a meeting with a wonderful gentleman from a nursery and how the all the trees that are planted, they take them out in a big ball, and it's like a 5-foot-wide bulb by 3 feet deep, and they have to come in and move the dirt back in so that they can plant more trees to have more trees to sell. And I'm going, okay, this is like too cost prohibitive. So, and then when I was talking to some other people, they said, well, the trouble is when you make it so cost prohibitive that then people start doing things on the weekend and doing things at night, and then we're there to try and clean up possible messes after the fact. So my idea was that, and let's face it, when the truck leaves the site and it's empty, it's just a truck leaving a site. It's no different than any other vehicle on the road. So I was supporting the fact that that we should at least remove the one way to be more cost efficient. And then Mr. Mayor here beside me has another idea, so he's probably going to amend my motion, which is fine. But anyways, I'll leave that open for discussion, and I see he's on the board as Jennifer. Go for it, Jennifer.
Sorry, I thought I was chairing the meeting. Mayor Thompson.
Okay, if I could have, I would like to bring an amendment to this motion. No, it's the same. Is it a different one? I want to amend her amendment.
You want to amend her amendment?
I got it here. That's a separate motion? Okay.
Take 2 minutes. Here. She knows what she's doing.
I can't.
We're going to resume. So it's a separate motion that would be required. So those that are on the board, I'm presuming that you would like to speak to this amendment. We'd have to have a motion to withdraw.
Yeah. Withdraw, because this one, I think.
I'm happy to withdraw the motion if council, because it's just less confusing, and then we don't have to vote on one and vote on another. And let's.
Can I have a seconder to withdraw? Councillor Groves, all those in favor? Carried. Let me clear the board. Mayor Thompson.
Have my amendment or my motion.
Let the fees bylaw be amended
bylaw
to exempt the fill heavy truckload Caledon Road use fee for fill related to an agricultural property where the property owner is a bona fide farmer. Seconded by Gord McClure. Councillor McClure. So go ahead, Mayor Thompson.
Okay, the challenge is I know why Public Works have the cost recovery. The challenge is there are heavy trucks, but for the volume for agricultural land versus a commercial fill area are two different things. And for doing field repair, it isn't like you're doing a whole area. You're doing site-specific areas to level up a field. And the challenge is this is cost prohibitive for farmers because they want the good soil, and you don't get paid for taking good soil. If you're getting well paid, there's something wrong with the dirt. And this is a real challenge because you're getting a lot of subsoil mixed in. It doesn't mean it's always contaminated. It isn't the fact. Generally, that happens on weekends. But what we're trying to do is the way the bylaw is, we've run it for about a year now, and we can see that it's cost prohibitive, and there's a lot of farms that have the opportunity. We're losing good farmland to the south, and we can bring some of that soil for farmers to make their fields better and more productive here. It benefits everybody, but the challenge is the costs are so cost prohibitive, they can't afford to do it. So what I'm just saying is they're still paying for the fees on the putting topsoil on the fields through the bylaw at this point in time until it's retrofitted. But the heavy truckloads, the real challenge is too cost prohibitive for the farmers to do the right thing. And that's what where we want the soil to go in the first place. So it's an incentive, but it's one way we've tried it. And basically, it's just made it unaffordable for farmers to do it. Prime examples, there's Humber Nurseries. There's a number of farms that could improve their field quality. So this is why I've brought it forward. You have to be a bona fide farmer, which is an OFA number similar to what you have for a building permit. So this is why I've brought this on the floor.
Councillor Downey.
Through you, Chair Innes. Unfortunately, because I recognize the intent and stand by the intent, I cannot support this at this time because I think that we have some underlying principal issues in that this council recognized heavy trucks as heavy trucks. And whether they are for whatever purpose, and that was passed in 2011, we can, if Mr. Wong would like to comment on it, whether they are carrying loads for agriculture or not, or milk or buses, whatever the case may be, commercial vehicles, heavy trucks are heavy trucks, and they damage our roads. They damage town roads. And until that element is rescinded by this council, I don't think that we can move forward with changing fees. I do believe that there needs to be a deeper look into it in terms of the difference between agriculture and other levels of fill and fill operations. Absolutely. And if that's the direction the council would like to take in terms of having staff review the different sectors of commercial vehicles and that type of thing in terms of agriculture or non-agriculture related fill, I think we have a bigger issue than just, you know, lowering the fees. And in discussion in a past meeting on this issue, two meetings actually with Councillor Beckford and Councillor Shaughnessy and staff, the mechanisms to find solution with this situation were presented to us, and I don't believe that this was one of the solutions.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. So in 2011, staff was directed by council via notice of motion 2011-103, basically to look at charging for heavy trucks related to fill operations. So that means if a heavy truck uses any town road to bring in fill, that we would look at a per kilometer per load fee, and that was actually specified in the direction to staff. So we have looked at that, and we've implemented a fee that actually collects per lane kilometer used and per load basis, and that money goes into a reserve because the premise of the motion was that heavy trucks related to fill basically shortened the useful life of town roads. Town roads are not built for heavy trucks generally. So it goes into a reserve, and the town is supposed to use the monies from that reserve and put that into road improvement projects in the future. Now, since 2011 to 2015, I can tell you that we have collected less than $50,000 in this reserve. So that's the background on it.
Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. And I understand where the mover and the seconder is coming from with respect to how it relates to agriculture. But I also have folks in Bolton in the business parks who are moving. They're moving fill or they're bringing fill in, and they too are concerned about, they're not farmers, but they are concerned about the fees as well. Well, this motion's only speaking to exemptions for bona fide farmers. So I'm not sure how we deal with that. The other point, I certainly understand about the damage that these trucks are causing on our roads. And it isn't just trucks carrying fill, it's all types of trucks. We have tons of trucks on our roads in Bolton, and they do damage the road. So what do we do about them?
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. So I just want to clarify. The motion also talks about the town holding a security. So if there is damage, so when we go out and we inspect, if we notice damage on town roads, we will drop. We will ask the hauler or the property owner to pay for the repair. But this fee is not for that. This fee is, we know that the prolonged heavy truck use of our roads will shorten the life, and it's things that you don't notice right away. And we're collecting for basically the early replacement, rehabilitation of that road. I did forget to say one thing earlier. There was some discussion about the empty trucks and so on. The trucks being used to bring in fill, when they're fully loaded, are about 38 tons. Heavy truck is defined in our traffic bylaw as, sorry, did I say 38 tons? It's 38 tons or 38,000 kilograms. Heavy trucks is defined in our traffic bylaw as anything over 12,000 kilograms. So. And that's fully loaded, 38,000 kilograms. But when they're empty, triaxle trucks are 18,000 kilograms. So even when they're empty, they are considered heavy trucks on our town roads. So we proposed to basically collect on the every kilometer of town road that they travel on. So that's what's being discussed here. And if council wishes to get rid of that fee, that I think it's just, it's a direction. If they want to get rid of it, that would be direction to staff. We would remove this fee and no longer charge for heavy trucks waited to fill using town of Caledon roads.
Right. And I understand that, Mr. Wong, and thank you for that, but I know that some of the property owners or business owners that are developing in Bolton, they've put up those securities, and you do go out and your roads crew go out and they do inspect the road to see, and I have no problems with that, and I don't think they have any problems with that either, because you don't want these trucks beating up brand new roads and that we've spent a lot of money building or repairing. But my question is, this is only relating to fill. We've got tons of trucks on our roads, and they're not carrying fill, and they're carrying a whole lot of other things, and they are beating up the road. Who's addressing that, and how is that being paid for? Because I don't want to mention Canadian Tire, but I will tell you, there's a whole lot of trucks on Coleraine, whole lot of trucks coming through my community on roads that they're not supposed to be traveling on. And they are beating up the roads. They're not carrying fill, but they're carrying other things. So how is that addressed?
Ms. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. That's actually a great question, because when I was asked to look further into this and I looked back at the 2011 resolution, we raised the same question. A lot of the construction projects, development projects, they bring in cement. They bring in a lot of other deliveries that actually are heavy trucks also, and that's exactly right. However, and I had intended over the summer fall time to actually meet with the development community to talk about how we could implement something where we could charge them for that. Unfortunately, time ran out for me, and I didn't feel it would be right to actually put in a fee for that type of thing without consultation in the development community.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Wong, and I think they certainly do as well, because I do think that it's a bigger discussion, and it's a discussion, and I'm sorry, it's a bigger discussion for another day, because I'm talking about trucks that are not just construction trucks, but I'm talking about trucks that's carrying goods and services. They're moving goods and services, so it is a much broader discussion, and probably is something worth having with the Ontario Trucking Association to find out how do we as municipalities deal with this. And I certainly agree with you. I would not be imposing any fees on these folks unless you have some consultation with them, because at the end of the day, every increase that we do, it's passed on to the end user, which is us, which is the consumer. So whatever increase we do, it goes to the consumer. So anyway, thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thank you. I guess the this resolution speaks to fill and heavy trucks. When we look at agricultural buildings and heavy trucks delivering products for construction, like barn construction, those sort of things, are they currently exempt? How do they get dealt with? Are they dealt with as trucks making a local delivery?
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes. The all local deliveries other than Phil, they don't pay this fee. This fee, again, was directed in 2011 for staff to develop a fee related to heavy trucks carrying Phil.
Okay. And it just got changed where we're dealing with them like on a full load, so a full truck kilometer. And that's how that's picking up the return trip now. Is that some of the concern here?
Through you, Chair, and one of the reasons why this has come up in I guess recently is when we were asked to look into this further, we looked to see that a truck that is empty is also considered heavy, and that's why we changed it for the fee to apply to and from deliveries.
Okay. And I think when you see in some of those drivers that are running the empty trucks, they're more of an impact, I think, because of the speed that they drive, not necessarily the weight, but the speed that they're driving empty on a lot of cases. This whole fill thing, I think, is quite a conundrum because we want to improve the soils on farmland, which is the intent of what we're doing here, and figure out a way easily and financially efficient, but there's a lot of money being made. There isn't a lot of money being made when you start talking about topsoil. And our fill bylaw, whereabouts are we with it? Do you know, like, with the fill bylaw and the soils
Mr. Porter?
Soil types and those sort of things?
So through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, with the change of managers in the bylaw department, we are going to be undertaking that work in 2018 to do a complete review of the fill bylaw.
And I guess the question would be, as an interim, this might be an interim provided it doesn't get away on us, because a lot of people like to hide behind the whole bona fide farmer thing, and that has an impact on those of us that are really in the industry. Is there a way that we can do this way for now, or look at judging or looking at individual cases till we get the fill bylaw and have the fees bylaw amended at the time that the fills bylaw and the soil bylaw comes in? Is there a way to, or a mechanism that we can deal with the full discussion of the fees as well as the soil?
So through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, this would be your opportunity now if you wanted to amend something through the fees bylaw until that review has been done. So currently there's no process, so there's nothing in place for us to provide exemptions or of any sort until, because we're not sure what the result of that review is going to be.
So the suggestion here then would be that I make an amendment to this one to request that this be reviewed at the time of the fill bylaw.
That would work.
Would that work?
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, of course.
It would work well, so we'll do that then.
Would you like to wait until everybody else has spoken, or would you like to bring that amendment forward now?
I can wait, or we can do it now, but everybody else wants to have a
looking speak. For you for a decision. It's your choice. I'm hearing
wait.
Do it now.
Huh?
I'm hearing doing it now.
You're doing it now? Well, let's do it now then. What, you said we're going to have a break again?
No, we're not taking a break for this one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Make an amendment then that this be reviewed when the bylaw comes.
So that this matter be referred? Deferred as part of the
Phil's bylaw.
Phil bylaw review in 2018? So are you saying refer it or defer it? Refer it? Okay. So the motion is by Councillor DeBoer that the matter be referred so the Phil bylaw review is completed in 2018. Is that correct? Seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli. So I'm going to clear the board, though, speaking only to the amendment. Sorry, it was on for the original amendment. So we're speaking to the amendment as to the amendment to the amendment, and it's Councillor Beffert.
Yes.
So speaking to the referral only.
I have a question regarding the amendment, but I guess further to that, before that, I was part of some meetings with regard to this issue, and basically the issue comes down to inequity. There are people who have already been through the process and paid or invoiced a significant amount of money. Part of the problem was that there was a dramatic increase in the invoicing due to these new rules. And because of the dramatic increase, there was that discussion of equity and inequity. And so what happens if this is passed? Do we then owe people money back?
Mr. Wong?
You're going to have a lineup.
Through you, Chair Innes, the fees bylaw is approved every year and is effective as of generally January of that year. So if this is approved, if there is an exemption for agricultural property owners where the property owner is a bona fide farmer, then no, it would be effective from January 2018 forward, and it would not be retroactive.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. I didn't actually want it referred because we also have to wait for the government to come down with all their regulations, and then we were going to do our fill bylaw and excess fill. There's a conference tomorrow, and I think this could drag out, and I think it could hurt us for another year. So I would prefer not to see it referred. So I'm going to say that we have a lot of people needing to rehabilitate property, including all the nurseries. And that usually starts in the spring. And so I can't support referring it to a review in 2018 when this is a problem right now. So I think we need to deal with it now. And if the mover of the referral, it doesn't stop us from reviewing it partway through the year or laterally in 2018 should something come back to us, but it may not come back to us in 2018. It may not come back until 2019. So I have a concern about all next year. So I won't support the referral. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
We're talking specifically about different soil types, and we really can't address it completely without having the discussion around topsoil and subsoil, and I think that's part of the discussion, that it's topsoil that you want in agriculture. That's what that's the actual resource that's getting lost or getting buried into big holes. Those are the ones that we want to entice somehow to get delivered. When you start talking about these large fill operations and they're hauling topsoil, like the one I keep watching at Volks just up the road from me, that's probably got, I don't know, probably 750,000 loads of fill gone into there now. There's lots of money made into it. So it's passed on to the consumer. But in this case, the consumer for that one is the subways in downtown Toronto. And the impact is my neighbors and what's happening in my area. So when we talk about the fill there, it's. I don't think it's as easy as just, and I support the idea of reducing it, but in hearing the conversation, I don't think it's just as easy as just eliminating or reducing the fee. I think there's probably ways of dealing with it for the greenhouse or the tree grower that we were talking about. But I'm not sure if with this one and referring it to staff, there would be nice to have a little bit more information now over the course of the next week too, to how you would actually administer if you were to deliver it for an exemption for agriculture. But it is
going to be a contentious issue, and it does have an impact on our local roads. So, anyways, thanks.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Sorry, I forgot to mention something. I was just trying to read this and go through it. We have in Ward 1 a number of old pits that are off license and they're owned by people, and they've never been refurbished. And my concern about referring this is the fact that these pits remained, these old expired pits remained holes in the ground. I've got residents who had actually liked to put them back to agricultural land, and I got told they couldn't afford to do it with the cost of what's happening here. So it's not just being a bona fide farmer. I was actually going to amend Mayor Thompson's, because we have other situations where it could be agricultural land, but because only 15% are ever refurbished back to agricultural land from pits, we can't make that cost prohibitive, because it doesn't cost the aggregate producers to move the fill in and out, but somebody who actually wants to do a nice thing for the community and create more agricultural land is going to get hit by it. So that is, I just wanted to get on the record. That's why I also don't want this to get referred. Thanks.
Councillor Biffer.
Like to ask Public Works, Fu Wing, have we had anybody that's actually been charged for an empty truck going back from a job?
Mr. Wong.
Through you, Councillor, Chair Innes. Yes, I believe so.
Can you give me the approximate number of operators that have been charged?
Number of operators? Through you, Chair Innes, it would be, I believe we implemented the change in 2017, so any fill applications that were processed in 2017 where the route used was the Town of Caledon Road, that they would have been charged to and from.
And if we refer, as is on the board, that remains until such time that there's a report of the referral?
Through you, Chair Innes, that would be correct.
Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers on the board, I have concerns with the wording of the original amendment. So referring it to have a more fulsome discussion with regards to all of it, I think, makes sense to me. I understand that we don't want to penalize the agricultural community with regards to fill. But I can think of two instances where they're a bona fide farmer with an OFA number, and I can tell you that the practices that they put on those lands was not in the best interest of the agricultural community. So that concerns me, because it doesn't stop them from doing what they did to those lands by just putting in that exemption. So I'm torn. I would feel better if the wording of topsoil was in there, plus the OFA number, but that makes it difficult because we don't have a rating system, and all of those things haven't been filled and fully discussed and vetted through the fill bylaw review, which is needed. So at this point in time, I personally can't support it, even though I understand the intention behind it and do support the intention, because I think that, you know, supporting our agricultural community and revamping the lands with the proper soil is the environmentally right thing to do. But I can think of a couple instances in my mind most recently where that was not what occurred, and now those lands, with probably within 5 years, were not going to be workable anymore, and we are going to lose those agricultural lands in our community. So with that being said, I can't support it at this point in time. I look forward to the review and would ask and support the referral that this be included as part of the review for the fill bylaw for 2018. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All those in favor? 5 carries. No, it's done. Are there any other questions, comments, or amendments for the fees bylaw? Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. And looking for a seconder. That the fees bylaw be amended to waive the fee for the response to open air burn fee for a resident who does not have a burn permit one time within their Caledon residency. That the property owner be issued a warning and charge the applicable burn permit fee.
Can I have a seconder?
The reason for this, Chairness, is this council has had a number of instances in recent memory of people who have been issued a burn fine appropriately according to the bylaw and has come before council asking for it to be reduced or eliminated while others in our community have paid the full fine. One thing that I have said each and every one of those times is we need to deal with the matter at the fee bylaw level. And what I am proposing here is those who do not have a permit, that the town basically be giving them the benefit of the doubt that they weren't aware, and they are given one-time warning that they are required to have a burn permit, and any other time the full fee would apply. My hope is that this would help reduce the financial burden on some of our residents. I have a resident now who's contacting me, and the fine is $800, which I think is, if it's not the lowest amount, it's pretty close. That's a significant amount of money. So what this is proposing is a middle ground, similar to our warning for, or one forgiveness for false alarms, in that every time after that, as long as they're a Caledon resident, they will be expected to know they need a permit and abide by it. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
I appreciate where Rob wants to go with this. The challenge I have is, if it's an innocent one where it's just a small fire and the fire department don't have to if we have a whole grass fire and half the community burns up, well, that's a different issue. And it doesn't really say that. So that's the thing within, you know, if there isn't any property damage that comes from it, okay. But I'm just saying that's the challenge, that it's not there. So anyway.
Councillor DeBoer.
I don't think I ever supported any of the reductions, knowing full well that people need to learn a lesson. And and I understand where Councillor Mazzapelli is coming from, because we've dealt with it here in a manner that I don't think he supported in any of those cases either. I think once and for all, if we need to, this is the spot where we want to deal with it rather than when we have delegations. And if we're having somebody contact us already, it's not right. There's costs associated with it. There's a potential property damage. We've allowed for recreational burns. There should be no reason why somebody doesn't contact the town, get themselves a permit. I don't think any of the municipalities in our area or around our area have or don't have burn permits. And I think it's just somebody playing to the I don't know or playing ignorant. And I did have somebody one time tell me that's usually the problem. So, thanks.
Councillor Groves.
I do support the motion, and part of the problem is this, and I know the resident who contacted Councillor Mazzapelli also contacted me, and the problem is this. They're not home. As the parents are not home, the kids are, they have those chimeneas, and which the stores sell those chimeneas, and I don't think the kids understand or realize that you need a burn permit to light up one of these things, because I guess they figure, well, the stores sell them, we have it, and it's fine to do that. So I support this, and again, sometimes parents aren't home and the kids are using these chimeneas and doing these fires, and as the mayor said, there's no damage here. It's not like they're burning down houses or is causing a fire or causing damage to any properties with that. And a question I have is, when the fire department goes out and says to the property owners or whoever has got this fire going, oh, it's okay, not to worry, no harm done, then they come back and then they get a fine. So they're all confused because our fire guys go out there and say, no harm done, don't worry about it, and then they get a fine. So there's a disconnect somewhere, and I know that that's what this resident is struggling with, is because the children were told not to worry, no harm done. So I don't know how we deal with that, because I didn't think that, I don't think, with that said, being said by our guys that went out, they weren't expecting to get a bill.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. And I guess to Councillor Mayor Thompson's point, certainly if a call were to go out for an open-air burn where, and I know that this council dealt with a matter where it turned into a large grass fire, that I certainly would not support being accepted with a warning. What this is proposing to do is those small calls where they have a chiminea, it is a small fire, a neighbor calls to complain, they don't have the permit, that they be issued a warning. The reason for this is I'm trying to alleviate staff having to deal with property owners who are trying to negotiate a fine, trying to minimize council having to be delegated constantly to have a fine eliminated or reduced. What this would, and I'll further that by saying we have to some degree created a vision out there that if you come to council, you'll have it reduced. And I've never supported that, as Councillor DeBoer mentioned. I said we need to deal with that at the permit or the bylaw stage, and that's why this is here in the fee bylaw. I think this is a way where we can get compliance, offer that one-time warning for those that may not have known. And the one point I just want to make, and I would feel confident that our firefighters don't go out there and say, don't worry about it, but a fee's coming in, and that's the unknown. But certainly our firefighters who are responding, my expectation is that they would clearly indicate, you know, whether this is fine and there's no worry, or, you know what, unfortunately, when this gets processed, there'll be a fine attached to it. Certainly residents are due that. But this is just an effort to address an issue this council has seen repeatedly and helping to eliminate that. That's all this is. I think it's fair. Thanks.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Ennis. Agreed. I support where you're going with this, Councillor Mazzapelli, although I think maybe a little bit more detailed wording in regards to exactly what type of call the warning is going to. As Mayor Thompson suggested, there are sometimes larger calls where there's major property damage and that type of thing. So, I mean, if we could maybe tweak that wording so that it's, so I can propose an amendment to tweak the wording in order to capture the intent of that, those one-off calls where neighbors complained or your, that works, I think.
I think you like that one.
So Councillor Downey is proposing an amendment that would say,
I'm also
that the property owner be issued a warning and charge the applicable burn permit fee. No, it'd have to be.
Through you, Chair Ennis, if staff has a comment. Can I ask staff comment on that?
Sure. Ms. Just tell it.
Through you, Chair Ennis, I'll do my best here. So I guess the way this is reading is it could be a recreational burn, it could be an open-air burn. It doesn't specify. It just says if they don't have a permit. So, because if they do have a permit, I'm assuming I'm still charging them. Just so you're aware, so if the fire crew has to respond to an open-air, I know it's innocent enough, and sometimes things are taken out of context, but realistically, that means they're not responding to something where they should be. So the whole point of the fee is to deter people, to make sure they realize the responsibility as a property owners to make sure they have a burn permit and they use it accordingly. Because if they're not, and fire has to go to their house to extinguish a fire, because if they get there and they don't have to do anything, they don't charge. But if they actually have to extinguish the fire, they will charge for that. And that's them going there where they could have been at a motor vehicle accident or a fire that actually needed their attention. So if you pass this, you just have to make sure the wording is tweaked to say if it was a residential burn permit or minor damage, or I'm not sure how you distinguish minor damage. I would say if they're doing a recreational burn, but you're walking a bit of a fine line there.
Agreed.
So do you still want to have an amendment?
I'm looking to the mover for a suggestion on how or where his comfort level is with that wording. If you are confident in staff to utilize their discretion there, then I will continue to support that. However, I think we are maybe opening ourselves up or staff up for difficult situations, as difficult as it is when the residents come here looking for that fee to be waived. I just don't want to put staff in a position where, you know, they're having to flip-flop and make that decision.
Okay. Councillor Buffer. You're off. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis, and I appreciate the comments by council and staff. I'm prepared to let it fail here at committee. I will be bringing it back with wording which clarifies. I just wanted to make one point, and with all due respect to Ms. Tollett, your comment about, and we don't want resources unnecessarily allocated. My point is they are going to be responding to that call anyways. Whether that person didn't know and didn't have the permit, or in this scenario, that call will still happen. Because I can guarantee that person won't do it again, whether they get a warning or whether they get the full fine. I find it hard to believe that people would roll the dice and take their chances that you delegate counsel to get it reduced. So this is trying to see all of that. I will work with staff to reword it to make sure that those calls that get out of hand are not included in this. It's just the simple ones where if they had a permit, it wouldn't have been a problem at all. That's kind of what I'm looking at. So I'm happy to let it fail at this level, and I will be bringing it back at council for the final consideration.
Okay? Thank you. I just have a question for Ms. Tollett. My understanding of the fees bylaw, that I think it's like an $800 fine around there, that is actually to recoup the cost of what it costs to send out that fire truck to the call.
Through you, Chanis, that's correct. So I think it's actually proposed to reduce for 2018 to $639, but then there's an admin fee as well on top of that, so that's where it gets closer to the $800. But it's the truck, the staff, the resources, the fuel, everything to get to that site.
So agreeing with the comments and the concerns that others have said about, you know, defining between a controlled fire to one that's actually out of hand, my other concern is, that's a fee that's now going to be borne to all the taxpayers of Caledon because of somebody else's error. So everybody's going to be paying that fee for that resident who didn't know that they weren't allowed to have a fire. So in that sense, I can't support it. You know, I look forward to you bringing it back should it fail, but I don't think that I could support it at that point either because... like I said, it's just like if we exempt some things of development charges, that means that the rest of the tax base has to pick up that cost. There is still a cost. It's not like there is no cost. We have to pay those volunteer firefighters. We have to pay for the truck, and those services and that cost can't be ignored. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, I just wanted to make the point once again that whether we have the existing program or this, those incidents of those without a permit will still happen. So, yes, we will be able to recoup some costs, but I don't think that is the bigger issue. The bigger issue is having resources out on the road when they're not at the station ready to prepared to respond to a legitimate call. That won't change, and I just want to make that point clear. And that is what this council really wants to reinforce, is that we don't unnecessarily respond to calls. What we currently have won't change that. Yes, we'll recoup some money, but there's somewhat of a loose precedent that you come to council and it will get reduced. So even that component of a recouping of costs is not entirely recouped. So that is what I offer. What I'm really trying to do is to ensure compliance, because that's the key. So I will come back with a revised wording for council's consideration. Then it's up to them. Thanks.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Are there any other comments, questions, or amendments? Seeing none, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. Staff report 2017-149. Do you have a comment? No. 149 proposed 2018 fees bylaw as amended. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. Ms. Hare, can I just ask what the just to conclude in the budget deliberations, can you provide an update? Thank you. The next and the item on the agenda is a correspondence. Is there anything from the correspondence package that requires action? Seeing none, that concludes this meeting. General Committee is now adjourned.